afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Hope you like my new intro music. It is by the Spanish artist Javier Suarez, who goes by the name of Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. You can find him on the internet. It is non-copyrighted music, so copy it, enjoy it, much as I have. We're going to be playing his music throughout the hour. Actually, the next 3 hours. It is, of course, 2 days before Election Day. Never thought this day would arrive. In 48 hours, Americans will, I should say, continue to go to the polls, because in dozens of states across the country, Americans have already gone to the polls. Early voting is alive and well in many states, and that's a good thing. Early voting allows more citizens to exercise their right of democracy. It's one of the things that Republicans are most against, because they don't want people to vote, and Democrats are most for. As we're going to talk about in the next 3 hours, this is a constant battle between Democrats encouraging every American citizen to get out and vote, and Republicans encouraging every Democratic voter to stay home and not vote. If this election is to be won by the Republicans, they're going to have to cheat, because Barack Obama is ahead. It's slight, to be sure, but is ahead in the polls, and Republicans are doing their best to use dirty tricks in Ohio and Virginia to keep Democrats from voting. We're going to go on and talk about that later in the hour. But look, the polls are close, and those of you listening to my voice in Virginia should know that your state, our state, my state, because Virginia is my home state, is the closest state in the United States. Nowhere are the polls closer than in Virginia. A few put Mitt Romney up by 0.3%. A few put Barack Obama up by 0.3%. That's about it. Most of the case, it's tied, and it's not clear who's up in the polls. So before we get to all the polls and the politics and what's going on the last few days and how the hurricane affected it all, and I want to get to the basics. I want to get to the reason you should vote. It's fun for political pundits to say who's up and who's down and who's in which state and which states are close and to add up the electoral votes. I like it. I'm a games player. I like math. I like trying to figure out my way to get to 270, and you bet in these hours I'm going to be giving you my predictions, my exact predictions, state by state, and the exact electoral count. And we'll talk about what to expect on Election Day. But before I get to any of that, let's start with the basics. Why we're having an election, because it's all fun to play the game. But unlike the Super Bowl, the World Series, or the Olympics, it's not just a question of cheering for your favorite team. In this case, it matters. Who we choose as president of the United States matters. It affects your life, it affects my life, it affects our lives. And what they tell us, and really you don't have to rely on professional pollsters because what they tell us is obvious, what they tell us is that the economy will be the main focus for the American people, as well it should be. These have been difficult economic times ever since the Great Bush Depression of 2007-2008, the first financial panic. And that's what they used to call it 100 years ago, a panic. The first financial panic we've had since the Great Depression. And financial panics are always difficult to get out of. So let's give some basic economic facts, because in all the gloom and doom by the Republican Party, the party of no, the party that was determined to slow down the nation's economy so that, in Rush Limbaugh's words, Barack Obama would fail, so that, in Mitch McConnell's words, the head of the Republican Party, the most powerful Republican from 2008 to 2010, 2009-2011, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, he said his first goal was to make Barack Obama a one-term president. And if he had to destroy American jobs to do it, gosh darn it, he was going to do it. If he had to slow the economy to do it, whatever he had to do, however many millions of Americans the Republicans had to make miserable, in order to convince Americans to throw Barack Obama out, they were willing to do it. And we're going to talk about exactly what happened in the first 4 years. But notwithstanding all of this, notwithstanding the most obstreperous Congress in American history, let's talk some basic facts about the economy. Some facts that, unfortunately, don't get a lot of discussion. Let's start with some clearly nonpartisan sources, right? Because everywhere you look, there's a partisan source. Hey, I'm one, right? I'm a Democrat. I used to work for Congressman Barney Frank. I work for We Act Radio, D.C.'s only progressive commercial radio station. So my bias is clear. And some of the Republicans don't tell you their bias. But if you go to Fox News, I think we know their bias is clear. So let's go outside the United States entirely. Let's go to the International Monetary Fund. You won't find a drier group of economists and statisticians than those that work for the IMF. The International Monetary Fund is a, there's a complex discussion of how it came about. It came about after World War II to ensure stabilization in monetary policy across all the world and certainly the industrialized nations. It's a bunch of economists, highly trained international economists and statisticians. What do they say about the U.S. economy? Here's what you'll find. They say the economy worldwide is weak, that this kind of financial panic, the kind caused by the lack of regulation on Wall Street. Remember, America caused the panic. We caused the worldwide depression, just as arguably we did in the 1920s when our stock market collapsed, even more so here when Wall Street started gambling. And those gambles were implicitly guaranteed by the government. This all happened under George Bush. And rich people knew they could gamble so that if they won, they got to privatize their wins. And if they lost, they got to socialize their losses. Heads, they won. Tails, we lost. That was basically the way it was. And the Republicans who want lack of regulation led us over this cliff. And some Democrats who don't like regulation, who don't want financial regulation, who believe that companies can be as big as they want to be and it doesn't harm the national economy, led us over that cliff. So the entire world is having difficult economic time. But if you compare the world, if you look at the IMF data, what nation would you say out of the United States and Canada and the European Union, which, by the way, is actually a larger economy than the United States. That's all of Europe together, Germany, France, England, Italy, all of these nations in the economic union. Japan, Australia. Which industrialized nation do you think has the best economic forecast for the next 4 years? What do you think? Canada? Europe? Japan? Wrong. The United States of America. The United States of America has the strongest economic forecast, and this isn't made by even a bunch of American economists. This is made by a bunch of international bean counters. Frankly, they're more of them from Europe than the United States and the IMF. And yet they predict that European growth will be under 1%. Canadian growth is going to be about 2.3%. American growth, a solid 3%. We will have the highest growth of any industrialized nation in the world over the next 4 years. And what's fascinating about it is if you understand economics, you know that economic policy comes with a lag, that what you do in economics affects the economy 2, 3, 4 years out. The reason why our growth is going to be so strong in the next 4 years is because what Barack Obama and the Federal Reserve, we shouldn't discount the role of Ben Bernanke and monetary policy, but because of what Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress did in the first 2 years of his administration with the stimulus package, what the Federal Reserve did with monetary policy, we are going to see large economic growth in the next 4 years. Indeed, a lot of the reasons for the problem in this 4 years goes back to what George Bush did 4 years earlier. There's an irony in economics. George Bush caused the problems of the Obama administration, and Obama is going to cause the great economic growth of the next 4 years. If Romney wins the election, he will certainly credit himself for the growth that Obama has laid in place. It's kind of like, putting something in a pipeline or any other thing that takes time, putting something in the oven, right? It's kind of like the person who puts something in the oven and they wait. And then someone else comes in and says, look at what I made, as they pull out the perfectly baked pie out of the oven. Well, the person who made it stuck it in the oven an hour earlier. The same is true with the nation's economy. You don't believe we're on the up and up? Well, look at the jobs numbers, right? Not only is the unemployment rate solidly below 8% for 2 months running, right? People said, 7.8%, that's an anomaly. That can't be true. The head of GE said, no, they're cooking the numbers. They never claimed they cooked the numbers when the boring statisticians at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who are not political but hired on the basis of their statistics and economics knowledge, when for the past 3 years they've had unemployment at 8 and 9%. I don't hear anyone complaining about cooking the numbers. But in this case, you can't claim that September's numbers were cooked, October's numbers were cooked, and here come November numbers about October that they're cooked as well. All solidly under 8%. And more importantly, they actually had to revise upward July and August numbers. Turns out the economy was doing even better than expected in July and August. It's interesting. They revise these numbers all the time. They try to get the numbers right. Going down the cliff caused by the Bush Depression, going down that cliff, it turns out the numbers were much worse than the original estimates had. It's one of the reasons why economists working in 2009 didn't think the economy would be as bad off as it turned out to be in 2009. Now they're revising the estimates upward. July is higher. August is higher. September is higher. 171,000 jobs. And in fact, the unemployment rate even ticked up 0.1% from 7.8% to 7.9%, not because of lack of jobs. In fact, there's so many new jobs coming that more and more people are looking for work. People who used to give up looking for work are looking for work now. More people are looking for work than ever before. And that actually meant that with these great job growth numbers, 170,000 a month, 170,000 a month, by the way, that's pretty good. If you just do the math, you find out that's about 2 million jobs a year, which would mean the best growth we've seen since the economic depression began. So why are we doing so well? Why are our numbers so good? Well, actually, before I get there, let me give you some more numbers. Let me tell you more things. Consumer confidence. Consumers paying down debt, getting out of debt, and consumer confidence in the future of the economy is higher than it's been since, yes, the Depression began, since 2007. Even housing has turned the corner. Housing prices have hit bottom, and they're on their way up. Corporate profits are at record highs. Don't give me this Barack Obama's anti-business. There has never been a time in post-war American history, they started measuring this data just after World War II, there's never been a time in the 60 years they've been measuring this data when corporate profits have been higher as a percentage of gross domestic product, as a percentage of the nation's entire economy. You want to know why Wall Street is hitting record highs? Wall Street's hitting record highs because, well, it's gone down a little bit since the hurricane. But basically, it's hitting record highs because corporate profits are hitting record highs. The rich have never been richer than before. They are doing very, very, very well. They're doing so well that they have more cash just sitting there waiting to be invested, $1.7 trillion, the highest cash as a percentage of gross domestic product that has not just the number is the highest, but the highest as a percentage of the economy ever in American history. So the super rich are richer than ever before. They have more money than ever before. And Mitt Romney's plan is to give them even more money. But if you want to know why they're not investing, I would suggest it's because the middle class doesn't have enough money to buy their products. And that's why Barack Obama, who's looking out for the middle class, would do far better for the nation's future economy than Mitt Romney. By the way, our exports are up too. They're not just up. They're up 45% from what they were 4 years ago. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's like increasing it by half. Take all the exports in the entire United States of America and increase them by half. How do you do that in just 4 years? And believe it or not, exports, our exports, you know we've got a problem, right? We import all these goods from China. We don't export that much largely because of the revival of the auto industry, of Barack Obama saving the auto industry. Our exports are the highest they have ever been since this measurement has been made, since the end of World War II. That's right. Exports is a percentage of gross domestic product. We are shipping out more as a percentage of our economy ever than ever before. So all vital signs of the economy are go. If your vote is on the economy, and solely on the economy and not on all the lies of Mitt Romney and not on social issues, and we'll get to all of those. If you are voting solely on the economy of America, you've got to vote to continue this progress and not to turn it back. There are consequences of turning back. Europe is perhaps the clearest example of the consequences of turning back. In the European Union, they decided to try austerity. Austerity means cutting back on their budget deficit. Now, it makes perfect sense to practice austerity when you've got a solid, strong economy with no headwinds. That's why Bill Clinton was very smart to do it in the late 1990s when our economy was so strong. But now is not the time to practice austerity when we're just coming out of the greatest economic depression since the Great Depression. And Europe has learned that. Their growth, which started to be good, has fallen way, way below ours until finally the European Central Bank decided to copy what the Federal Reserve did and go to a loose monetary policy. So, all signs are clear. The economy is solid. It's as strong as it's been, well, since Bill Clinton. And we can actually do what Bill Clinton did. It's going to take another 4 years. But if you're voting entirely on the economy, you've got to vote for Barack Obama. Now, how do we get here? What policies of the Obama administration brought us here? Was it pure luck, or was it specific things that President Obama has done? Let's evaluate the man. What did he do over the last 4 years? What did the Democratic Congress do over the last 4 years? What did the Republicans do over the last 4 years? How did we get to where we are today? Let's explore that. Because when you pull the lever in 2 days, you shouldn't do it begrudgingly. You can actually happily do it knowing that you're voting for the right guy. 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. Give us a call. This is Mark Levine. This is the Inside Scoop. This is WEACT Radio, 1480 AM. We're here for 3 hours. There's plenty of time. Call in whether you agree or disagree. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to WPWC, WEACT Radio, 1480 AM, WEACTRadio.com.
Friends, David Schuster here, and all of us at WEACT Radio are so proud of our neighbors here in Southeast D.C., especially one of our partners, The Ark. The Ark is at 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast. It's the home to some of Washington's best, including the Washington Ballet, the Levine School of Music, Boys and Girls Club, and the Children's Health Project. All provide a number of programs and services within the very same facility. The Ark is also home to the Ark Theater, the only theater east of the river, which hosts a variety of dance, music, and theatrical shows each year. Almost everything you could want is at the Ark, so stop by and see them. The Ark, 1901 Mississippi Avenue in Southeast. For more information, visit the Ark's website, www.thearkdc.org, or call 202-889-5901. The Ark, part of Southeast D.C.
I'm Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico. Last year, my state became the 12th state to allow medical use of marijuana by patients who are seriously ill. Some people were surprised that a Republican governor supports medical marijuana, but I'm hardly alone. Groups like the American College of Physicians, American Nurses Association, and American Public Health Association have all acknowledged the medical value of marijuana. New research about medical marijuana is coming out almost every day, showing remarkable potential in all sorts of serious conditions, including cancer, AIDS, and chronic pain. But some in government still want to put politics and ideology ahead of public health. To learn more about medical marijuana and what you can do to help, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thanks.
WEACT Radio is a very proud partner of the Start at Westminster, a harm reduction, prevention, and awareness initiative sponsored by the Westminster Presbyterian Church right here in D.C. START stands for Syringe, Treatment, Advocacy, Resources, Training. These are the core elements of the harm reduction philosophy at START. The goal of this program is to reduce transmissions of HIV, hepatitis, and other blood-borne infectious diseases by empowering those at risk of infection with the tools, resources, and referrals they need to take charge of their health. Over the past year, the Start at Westminster tested over 1,600 people, and they're averaging about 150 tests each month. And of course, with the proper funding, that number could go even higher. For more information on this terrific program, go to www.startatwestminster.org or visit the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street Southwest, right here in Washington, D.C. Take Action News is proud to be sponsored by Healthcare for America Now. HCAN is a national coalition of more than 1,000 groups in 50 states, representing 30 million people. HCAN works to promote, defend, implement, and improve the Affordable Care Act at both the state and federal levels. They also try to protect Medicare and Medicaid, increase corporate accountability, and confront forces that seek to take away critical services. HCAN believes in creating jobs, not cutting programs people depend on. HCAN runs comprehensive issue campaigns that mobilize people at the grassroots and define the public debate. HCAN is fighting to protect, implement, and improve the new health care law through national and state-based legislative and regulatory campaigns built on grassroots action, public education, communications, policy analysis, and groundbreaking research. HCAN has become a respected voice and national leader on health care while continuing to focus on aggressive field activity. Support HCAN, Healthcare for America Now.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. We're talking about why you should vote the way you should vote in 2 days. The election is 48 hours away. And I got to tell you, I enjoy as much as the next guy. I'm a political junkie. I love looking at the maps. I've been coloring in maps red and blue since I was 10 years old in presidential elections. So I love the gamesmanship of it all, figuring out who's up in the electoral map. As much as I hate the electoral college, I must admit it's fun filling in the states. There's excitement each and every election day. Heck, I remember 2000 when I filled in Florida for Gore and told everyone that President Gore was going to be our president in 2000. Since then, I got to say, I've predicted pretty much every state right. I predicted every single state right in 2000, including that Florida would go for Gore. I was right about that, and I was right that Al Gore won the election. Yeah, the Supreme Court did a coup d'etat. I didn't expect that, but I did predict all the states right. In 2004, I predicted every state except Ohio, which I predicted would go to John Kerry, which it probably would have if they had allowed blacks and whites the same equal access to the ballot. You may remember in Ohio the very, very long lines in the rain when, particularly in precincts that had large African-American voters, large groups of young voters, because the young have been more liberal than the conservatives, than the young people have been more liberal than conservative over the past decade or so, maybe two. You may recall that in 2004 in Ohio, in the white rural precincts, there were 7 or 8 voting machines for every voter. But in heavily urban African-American precincts or precincts in college towns, they would have 1 machine per voter, and sometimes that would run out, and they'd make people stand in long lines. Some people trying to vote in a college town in Miami, Ohio, stood in line 12 hours on election day in 2004. You may remember the long lines in the rain in Cleveland, where an elderly voter literally took his or her life in his or her hands. Trying to vote, many, of course, would not vote. The people running the precincts, the Republicans running the machinery, would not allow elderly people in out of the rain. They made them suffer out in the rain in these long, long lines. You remember those lines? For hours on end, you had to risk pneumonia, you had to risk death to vote. And you know that Kerry's very narrow loss in Ohio is the reason why we had George Bush in 2004. In 2008, I also got every state right, I'm proud to say, with the exception of Indiana. Didn't predict that Barack Obama would win that very red state of Indiana, but I predicted every other state right. And this year, I have my predictions as well. If you'll stay tuned, you're going to hear I'm going to predict every state. I'm unafraid to make a prediction. and I will predict that Barack Obama will win the presidency. But I'm not so naive as to think it's a done deal, that if I predict it, it will happen. It will only happen if, as I predict, Democrats and independents get out there and vote. Your vote does make a difference. You've got to vote. Only then do my predictions hold true. My point is that it's fun to go over all the predictions. We're going to do that a little bit later on in the broadcast and to say who's up and who's down and to follow all the politics of it. But let's remember this isn't a game. It's fun to predict the World Series. It's fun to predict who's going to win the Super Bowl and to have all kinds of brackets and March Madness. I get it. I get it. That's fun. But this is serious. And the most serious thing facing the American people is the economy. And too many people blame Barack Obama for the state of the nation's economy. And that's wrong. That's not just wrong as a matter of opinion. That's wrong as a matter of empirical fact. I could tell you that, which is the truth, which is that I have a degree in economics from Harvard University that I studied under even Ronald Reagan's chief economist, guy, Professor Martin Feldstein, who, interestingly, has written about the Romney plans. I'll get to his predictions in a bit. But I have training in this field, and interestingly, virtually every economist I've read, and I don't mean just people who claim to talk about economics, but people who have training in the field will tell you there are two ways that our economy has improved. There are two main levers that have been pushed that have led to the great economic data that I gave you just a few minutes ago. The highest exports ever in American history. The highest consumer confidence since the Bush Depression began. The best prediction of the next 4 years of any industrialized nation on earth by the International Monetary Fund. A turnaround in housing. Corporate profits at highs they've never, ever seen since they've been measured since the end of World War II in 60 years. Highest corporate cash ever. The irony is, for all the money corporations spend to defeat Barack Obama, Barack Obama's been very good for corporations. It makes you wonder, frankly, about who corporations are fighting for. You see, if corporations are people, my friend, as Mitt Romney said, you would think they would use their money to further their own interests. And indeed, if corporations wanted to further their own interests in the nation's strong economy, corporations would give overwhelmingly to Barack Obama. But corporations are not people. Corporations don't get to vote, don't get to send the money where the corporation wants to, because a corporation has no brain. A corporation is a legal fiction. Corporations are run by individuals. Individuals who make more money even as their corporation suffers. You see, if the corporation makes $1 billion in profits and the guy running the corporation makes $1 million in profits, that's not as good for the guy running in the corporation as if the corporation makes only $500 million in profits and the guy running the corporation makes $2 million. You see, if the guy running the corporation makes more money, he is better off even if he runs his corporation into the ground. And that is why the guy running the corporation uses corporate funds, not his own money. No one has any problem with his spending his own money. He uses corporate funds. He loots the corporation to use that money to help elect Mitt Romney. Because even though Mitt Romney would do great damage to the nation's economy, even though Mitt Romney would do harm to corporate wealth, even though Republicans always make the stock market go down, and if Mitt Romney wins the election, sell! Sell! Sell on Wall Street, because we're headed for deep, deep mess. I'll give you a secret how I've made money in the stock market. It's really quite simple. You buy at the beginning of a Democratic president, and you sell when you know Republicans coming into office. If you just simply follow my advice, my simple, I'm not Jim Cramer here, but if you follow my stock buying advice, you would have doubled your money. I put every cent I own, pretty much, into the market right when Barack Obama became president, right when the market was at its low in February and March of 2009, and it's done very well. Thank you very much. But understand that because corporations are not people, because the people who control corporate wealth are trying to maximize their own wealth and not their corporation's wealth. That's why all the corporate money is going to Mitt Romney. Poor corporations. If they really could determine where their money would go, they'd vote for Barack Obama because Barack Obama has massively increased corporate wealth. But the people who run the corporations care more about themselves than they do about their corporations. That's a problem. So, how did we get here? What were the policies that are taking us to this maximum economic good fortune? Well, there are two. There's Obama's fiscal policy and the Federal Reserve's monetary policy. Let's delve into some basic economics, because I'm sick and tired of people claiming to know economics when they couldn't pass a basic economics test. And I'm not trying to pull rank here, but it is a science. Just because it's a social science doesn't mean it's not a real science. It's as much of a real science as psychology or sociology or any other social science. And economics means you look at the curves, you look at the IS and the LM curve, the monetary curve and the investment curve and the savings curve and the fiscal policy and monetary policy, and you look at all those technical data and you see what increases the economy. Well, there are basically two primary ways, to put the gas in an economy. One is fiscal policy, government spending. The more you spend in excess of taxes received, yes, it increases the debt, and you do have to pay that back at some point, and God knows when times are good, we need to pay that back. That's why Bill Clinton was absolutely right to create a massive surplus and to pay back the national debt, to pay down and protect Social Security, which is what he did in the late 90s. We had a strong economy. That was the right time to do it. But in a time of economic depression, if you put the fiscal stimulus on, if you spend more than you take in, that massively increases the economy. Economists tell us that the unemployment rate would be 14% if the Obama stimulus package had not passed in early 2009. It literally stopped cold the loss of jobs. We were losing 400, then 500, then 600, then 700,000 jobs a month at the time of Barack Obama's inauguration. And then boom, he does a stimulus package. And the next month we lose 600,000, then 500,000, then 400,000. Then after 9 months, we start gaining jobs, and we've been gaining jobs ever since. More than 2.5 years of private sector job growth. That's due to the Obama stimulus package. And the Federal Reserve, they didn't sit down as well. They also did what the economists, what those charts tell you to do. And listen, if you don't like what Obama and the Federal Reserve did, you're going to have to change the entire economics profession, because since the 1930s, every economics textbook will tell you that what Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress and the Federal Reserve did is the reason why we are coming out of this depression. So if you don't agree with it, then you don't agree with economics and you don't believe it's a science, and you're going to need to develop some other theory of how the world works, other than the one that's existed and is taught in every university in this nation. So if you haven't taken economics, you really don't even have power to argue this point. Because conservative and liberal economists agree that in addition to fiscal stimulus, that's government spending over tax receipts, in addition to that stimulate the economy, the other thing that stimulates the economy is a Federal Reserve policy that expands the money supply. Now, conservatives like to deride that as, oh, they're printing money. They're printing money again, as if that were somehow an illegitimate way to increase economic growth. Well, first of all, it's not basically printing it. Currency is a tiny, tiny, tiny portion of the money supply. If you don't believe me, look at the money in your pocket versus the money in your bank account. I hope the money in your bank account is larger than the money in your pocket. If the money in your pocket's larger than the money in your bank account, well, then you probably need some of the food stamps that people have been living off of in America. The point is that particularly for the super wealthy, the amount in people's banks and brokerage accounts is far, far exceeds the amount of currency in their wallets. It's not printing money. It's expanding the money supply. It's giving money to banks to lend out to the American people and keeping interest rates very low. And the Federal Reserve has done a tremendous job. They've been watching the economy. I'm a fan of Ben Bernanke. There are people who attack me on the left as well as the right for defending the Federal Reserve. And we can argue over specific policies. I'm not a big fan of Alan Greenspan, for example, the guy before Ben Bernanke. I think he should have seen this coming and put a stop to it through better regulation, or at least through arguing that Congress needs better regulation. But between the Federal Reserve and Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress, we are coming out of this recession. And in fact, the biggest impediments in our way are ourselves. Indeed, specifically those policies that have been insisted on by the Republican Party. There's been a great tug of war between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats trying to make the economy succeed, Republicans trying to make the economy fail. Democrats trying to make the American economy grow, Republicans trying to make the American economy shrink. Democrats trying to put in place reforms that will strengthen the American economy for decades in the future, Republicans trying to block those reforms and keep our American economy weak just so a Republican can get into office. That epic battle has largely gone on behind the scenes. But as a former congressional attorney, I can tell you it is there, it is live, it is well, and the Republicans know it's going on. I'm going to give you facts to document all of that when we come back. Dial in if you like, agree or disagree. I'd love to hear from you. 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. You can also call toll-free. I know many of you listen across the web, across the United States, and around the world. Well, in the United States, you can call toll-free. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. Sorry, that toll-free number doesn't work if you're outside the United States. You'll have to spring for a long-distance call at 202-889-9797. Although you can also leave a comment on the web. And on my website at marklevingtalk.com, and I will read your comments on the air. Does anyone dispute this? That's the irony. For all the Republicans complain about Barack Obama, the economics are clear. And if economics is the main reason you're voting, if the economy is the main reason you're voting, and all polls show that the economy and jobs, that is by far the greatest concern of all Americans. We can talk about social issues. We can talk about abortion. We can talk about marriage equality and trade and immigration. And they're all important issues. Energy, climate change. Heck, after Hurricane Sandy, I don't know how anyone can deny climate change. They're all important issues. But if economy is issue number one, let's make the economic data clear. No one, no supporter of Barack Obama should be afraid to discuss the economy. Because the economy is turning around, and it's turning around because of the president, because of the Democratic Congress, and because of the policies of the Federal Reserve. The data is overwhelming. The next 4 years are definitely going to be better than the last 4 years. The only question is, will the person who put it in place be reelected president? Or will the guy who's from the party who tried to stop all these good things from happening, will he be president? How ironic would it be if Mitt Romney were to become president and preside over the fortune that Barack Obama began and then put in place policies that destroyed the economy for the next 4 years? It'd be an irony that I wouldn't want to live through, and I hope you wouldn't as well. 202-889-9797, toll-free 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with more of The Inside Scoop right after this.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything. At a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers. Led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call. 1-888-ECOWINES.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code FowlerShow for your extra special discount.
Friends, David Schuster here. And all of us at WEAC Radio are so proud of our neighbors here in Southeast D.C., especially one of our partners, The Arc. The Arc is at 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast. It's the home to some of Washington's best, including the Washington Ballet, the Levine School of Music, Boys and Girls Club, and the Children's Health Project. All provide a number of programs and services within the very same facility. The Arc is also home to the Arc Theater, the only theater east of the river, which hosts a variety of dance, music, and theatrical shows each year. Almost everything you could want is at the Arc, so stop by and see them. The Arc, 1901 Mississippi Avenue in Southeast. For more information, visit the Arc's website, www.thearcdc.org, or call 202-889-5901. The Arc, part of Southeast D.C.
You're listening to WPWC, We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. By the way, that's my new music. You're going to be hearing a lot of it. That is by a Spanish artist by the name of Javier Suarez. He goes by the name of Jazar, and I'm very thankful that I can use his music for my broadcast. So check that out. All right, so we were talking about how we got where we are. What led to... I think we've talked enough about what led to the economic depression. We've talked about the fact that Wall Street companies were gambling on credit derivative swaps, or unregulated, how people like Mitt Romney don't believe in regulation, and how this failure to regulate is what caused our massive depression. But also how we're getting out of it. It's not just fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus. Those are the classic economic levers. Yes, increasing the money supply. Yes, increasing government spending does help the economy in the short term. But to make a strong economy, you need long-term reforms, structural reforms, things that prevent this kind of crisis from happening again. Perhaps the best example of that is a bill that was co-sponsored by my old boss, Barney Frank. The Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act. does a lot of things to prevent the mess from happening again. Most importantly, they keep companies from being too big to fail. What we have is massive banks taking up other banks and controlling far more of the nation's economy. And what Dodd-Frank does is makes them put reserves aside, actually can break up institutions that are too big to fail. It makes sure that insurance companies can't put things like credit derivative swaps, tens of trillions of dollars, and hide them under the table, but has to bring them out in the open so that people know exactly what's going on and can monitor it so that it doesn't go bad. That's one reform. Another big reform, and Barack Obama does talk about this one a lot, reforming the auto industry. If you're unsure about voting in this election, if you have any doubt, or even if you're voting for Mitt Romney, please, before you pull the lever this Tuesday, go online and look up the op-ed written by Mitt Romney called Let Detroit Go Bankrupt in the New York Times. It was written in 2008, 2009. It was written just when the economy was at its low. Read it. You want to know what Mitt Romney thinks? Read the article. If you have any doubt that Barack Obama is better for the economy, read that article. Mitt Romney argues that the private sector can take care of itself. What the auto companies need to do, Mitt Romney says, is simply mistreat their workers more. Take away their health care, take away their pensions, do what Mitt Romney says he did when he was at Bain Capital. If you just mistreat workers badly enough, that will cause corporate profits to increase, and they'll have more money. And sure, they'll have to fire a lot of people. And sure, we can lose the American auto industry completely. But hey, we don't need an American auto industry. I'm sure that we can have a European or Chinese auto industry. We don't need those million American jobs. The king of outsourcing, Mitt Romney, said basically, let Detroit die. Now, he did explore what Barack Obama wanted to do, to use government aid and power, not just to bail out the auto companies, but to help restructure them. To restructure them in ways that made their workers stronger, that made their products stronger, made executives take less in salaries, and made them more profitable for the future. And I got to tell you something, General Motors is doing great. If you bought stock in General Motors at the time of the government restructuring, you're doing very well. Most importantly, the workers are doing well. The workers have not only kept their jobs, but their strong jobs. And they're taking us into the future. And, of course, it's not just those who make cars, but those in the whole distribution chain, from people at the assembly line to people selling cars to people making car parts to people at dealerships. The whole economic chain up and down is doing well. The very first line of the Romney article, and it really, really, it's not a short article. You can read it in 5 minutes. Read the first sentence of Mitt Romney's article. The one that says, let Detroit go bankrupt. The first sentence says that if we do what Barack Obama wants to do, if we have government intervention in the economy, the auto industry will die. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about those words. I want you to think about what he's saying. He made a very clear prediction, this businessman, and his prediction was that if we help, then the auto industry is going to die. I'm actually looking right now to get the article and to get the exact, it's surprisingly hard to find. I wonder why. All I have to do is look up New York Times, and it's apparently in the Wall Street Journal as well. Here we go. I've read it several times. I'm just pulling it up right now. Let Detroit go bankrupt. New York Times. Sorry. I want to give you the exact words, and it's important because this article has been talked about so many times. All right. I'll find it in the break. Weirdly enough, the original article, it's been so popular that it's not in the top Google search because people have been talking about the article more than they've actually read the article, which is a bit of a shame. Here we are. I'm now in the New York Times website. Bing. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Found it. Let Detroit Go Bankrupt by Mitt Romney, published November 18th, 2008. Quote, first line, if General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler get the bailout that their chief executives asked for yesterday, Mitt Romney said, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. It won't go overnight, but its demise will be virtually guaranteed. Romney placed a bet, and his bet was that if Obama did what he wanted to do, it would be the end of the American automotive industry. Instead, not only is the American auto industry as strong as ever, even stronger, we're exporting cars to China now. It's one of the reasons, by the way, why our exports are up 45%. Because we're exporting to China when we used to only import from China. So not only was he wrong about the Obama solution, but his solution to let Detroit go bankrupt, to let private industry buy up whatever was left, was also wrong because even Bain Capital, even his own company, refused to buy any portion of the American auto industry. In fact, The Economist magazine, and this is a conservative magazine, but one that respects basic economics, was against the auto bailout. But just this year, they switched sides. They said, you know what? And I got to give them credit for this. They said, you know what? We were wrong. We were wrong just like Mitt Romney was wrong. We oppose the auto bailout, and we recognize that we were wrong. Takes a big man to admit he's wrong. It takes an even bigger magazine to admit that they were wrong. But they did. The economy is much stronger today. Housing and exports and corporate profits. I don't care how you measure it. Unemployment rate, jobs, household income, the auto industry. However you want to measure it, we are stronger than we were 4 years ago. And more importantly, Barack Obama has put in place things to keep us from going off another cliff. Now, there is one more cliff. It's called the fiscal cliff. There's a cliff that the Republicans have put in place to make us jump off. And that cliff happens in 2 months, in January. Everyone's focused on the election, but the first thing that the newly elected president has to do is deal with the fiscal cliff. What is the fiscal cliff? How will it harm the economy? Why is it there? Why did Republicans insist on it? And what's going to happen with it? To understand that, you got to understand what's been happening over the past 4 years. You have to understand the massive battle between the party of yes and the party of no, the party of economic growth and the Republican Party, which is doing its best to retard economic growth. One of the main reasons we need Barack Obama to be president of the United States is that only he can deal with the fiscal cliff in a way that protects not just the millionaires, but protects all of us. The entire battle of the last 4 years has been, is America better off when its wealthiest are better off? Or is America better off when its middle class is better off? Romney's been all over the map. Romney has promised everything to everyone. He's promised massive tax cuts to the wealthy. Then he tells the middle class, I'm not going to raise your taxes. And then he says that we're going to pay through it through pixie dust, through deductions. But he's not going to specify the deductions. I had a Republican tell me on Chinese TV just 2 days ago that Romney's not going to touch the mortgage interest rate deduction. Well, poppycock or malarkey or some other word beginning with B and continuing with S that I can't say on the radio. He's got to raise middle class taxes or he's got to increase the deficit by $7 trillion. Those are the only two choices. Which will it be? Which will it be? We'll find out. Give me a call, 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797, or call toll-free 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Does your child have difficulty controlling their anger or a history of academic failure in school? Options Public Charter School offers a therapeutic learning environment with small classroom sizes and on-site counseling services to help students succeed. Options PCS is now enrolling grades 5 through 11 for the upcoming school year. For more information, call Options PCS today at 202-547-1028. Options Public Charter School. Exceptional education for exceptional students.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement, of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers, led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call, 1-888-ECOWINES.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code, FowlerShow, for your extra special discount.
I'm Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico. Last year, my state became the 12th state to allow medical use of marijuana by patients who are seriously ill. Some people were surprised that a Republican governor supports medical marijuana, but I'm hardly alone. Groups like the American College of Physicians, American Nurses Association, and American Public Health Association have all acknowledged the medical value of marijuana. New research about medical marijuana is coming out almost every day, showing remarkable potential in all sorts of serious conditions, including cancer, AIDS, and chronic pain. But some in government still want to put politics and ideology ahead of public health. To learn more about medical marijuana and what you can do to help, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thanks.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. It's just 2 days to Election Day. If you think the election season has been interminable, well, it has an ending. 48 hours from now. Many people have already gone and voted. And, of course, Election Day is around the corner. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm precinct captain for my own precinct in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm working hard to make sure the polls are covered, that everyone there gets a Democratic sample ballot. Most people in Virginia know who they're voting for President of the United States and probably for Senator. Of course, I endorse Democrat Tim Kaine. He was a great governor, and he'll be an even greater senator. And George Allen is the guy he's running against. He's, how do I put this gently? He's a racist. Oh, wait, that wasn't gentle enough. George Allen, you may recall, is the guy who referred to an Indian-American young man right here from Fairfax County in Virginia. Just from across the river from me, local kid, referred to him as macaca, which is apparently an obscure slur word for dark-skinned people. He's also, by the way, a guy who used to wear Confederate pins on his lapels in Southern California. Now, I admit that I don't like it when white Southerners from Mississippi wear Confederate pins, but you could argue, hey, well, hey, it's part of their heritage. But why is a guy from Southern California so interested in the Confederacy, so supportive of the slaveholders? He also, by the way, in his office had lynch ropes. So this is a guy, historic lynch ropes. I'm not making this up. I wish I were. He actually used to show these nooses. I don't know. Maybe he does it for historic reasons. but then the lapel pin and the macaca, and not to mention the fact that, of course, George Allen did everything he could to help the George Bush administration ruin the economy in the way they did. Please vote for Tim Kaine if you live in the state of Virginia. So, again, I'll be bringing out people to the polls. I will be helping coordinate, make sure that the election is fair, make sure they're not cheating. We're going to talk about some dirty tricks the Republicans are playing later on in the broadcast. But also just generally talk about why the economy is doing so well and how Barack Obama deserves credit for that. If you want to call in, apparently I'm told my toll-free number is down, so you have to call locally, 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. Let's go to Michael from the Bronx. Michael, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Glad to be talking to you on this end now.
I'm glad, too. I know you always call when I host the Leslie Marshall Show. You get a lot more time when you call into my local radio show, so I'm glad you're calling in, Michael.
I'm so glad.
What's on your mind?
Besides my hair... first off, your toll-free number is down.
Yeah, I know. I just announced it. So yeah, it's a good point, and I'm going to get that fixed.
Yeah, and you saw what I said. It could be a right-wing conspiracy.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm not going to go that far yet. If I'm going to accuse the right-wingers of conspiracy, I'm going to have a little more evidence before I suggest that. But
no, I just couldn't resist the joke.
Okay. So tell me this. You're in the Bronx. You probably were in the part of New York City least affected by the hurricane. Is that fair? It looks like Queens and Manhattan got it, and Staten Island got it the worst, right?
They got it pretty bad in terms of power outages,
right.
Floodings. There was disruption all over New York City with the transit system, but that has been up and going now. The only problem in the Bronx was sporadic power outages in certain areas. I was lucky to not have lost power, but I cannot say the same for other people, including my brother's sister-in-law, who lives just about 10 minutes away from me.
Yeah,
in another section of the Bronx, but it's like, wow, what a difference a section makes.
Yeah, it's crazy how these things are sporadic. I lost power for about 15 minutes, and that's all. Of course, I don't think it hit us down in the D.C. area as badly as it hit you folks in New York. I want to know what people in New York are thinking. Are they happy with the president's response? Are they happy with FEMA? I mean, obviously, it was a disaster, probably the biggest storm to hit New York City in my lifetime, or I don't know, that in anyone's lifetime. I mean, the subways flooding, I can't recall when that ever happened before. I want to know if people are happy with the government response, or do they blame the government for some of the hardship?
They are so happy with the way President Obama has handled the situation. In fact, I'm glad you asked that, Mark, because I got a pretty detailed account to share with you.
Please do.
Yes. Of all people... Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey. Now, you know, he is the man who has not only initially endorsed Mitt Romney for president, but was also bashing President Obama beforehand.
Oh, sure. He was at the big speaker at the Republican National Convention.
Yes.
Right.
Well, now, what a big change of heart. He has had nothing but praise to sing of in terms of President Obama. He's been so grateful to President Obama's assisting in New Jersey, and it was nothing but positive remarks about him. Now, here's the irony of all this. Mitt Romney, not only has he not called Chris Christie and checking on how he's been doing, but supposedly was orchestrating a storm relief effort in Ohio, which turned out to be a campaign event in disguise.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because apparently Mitt Romney had prepared a campaign event in Ohio, and I think it was Kettering, Ohio, and they were scheduled to do it, and it was all sort of going to plan, and then the hurricane came, and so he took the exact same event, and he just renamed it a hurricane relief effort event. He same people, same speeches. He did ask people to bring canned goods, but apparently that was just for a photo opportunity, because when a presidential nominee is there, the Secret Service has to check all the canned goods instead of telling people to do the obvious thing, which is donate them to a relief organization. There are many all around the country. The Red Cross has done a tremendous good. There's all kinds. There's churches and then synagogues and mosques that are helping as well, private organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of asking them to donate to the people in need, he said show up for the photo op and show a cans, which required a tremendous amount of cost as the Secret Service had to check out all the cans. But that's the heart of what he did. All he did was change a campaign event to a photo op. The interesting thing about the Chris Christie thing, and you're absolutely right about that, is that he's really making conservatives angry. Now, Chris Christie, many people believe, is the front runner for the Republican nomination in 2016. And now people like Rush Limbaugh are very angry at Chris Christie. Let's face it, New Jersey got hit the hardest. I mean, you can argue whether New York City or New Jersey got hit, but of course, New Jersey is a much smaller state than New York State, and the whole state got walloped by the storm. And he talked with Barack Obama constantly. Barack Obama cut through the red tape. And Chris Christie, to his credit, had to recognize that the President of the United States has got FEMA covered. Well, another thing about the Federal Emergency Management Administration, of course, that needs to be pointed out is Mitt Romney wants to abolish it. At least that's what he argued during the Republican primaries. Now,
that's true.
Like so many things he's argued during Republican primaries, he's switched sides 180 degrees. Now he says he doesn't want to abolish it, just like in during the primaries he said he wanted to deport all the self-deport, all the undocumented Mexican immigrants in the United States. Now he's kind of backed off that. His tax plan was to give massive tax cuts to the wealthy. That was what he said in the primaries. Now he's backing off. So it's not clear what Mitt Romney believes, because he'll say anything to anyone to be elected. But at least during the primaries, he said he would abolish FEMA because he said the states will do it better. And he said even better than the states is private companies. So I wonder how many people are going around asking private companies to do for free emergency management, to maybe to get rid of the floods in their houses or rebuild or give them trailers. I'm not sure why private industry would do that for free, but apparently that's the Mitt Romney solution.
But there's another kicker to that, Mark. In fact, there's two kickers to that. When you mentioned about the storm relief effort, the Red Cross had already stated that they do not need or is required, do not want any canned goods or anything like that. Only thing they need is just any monetary donations to forward to the victims and or volunteers. In addition to that, here's the second kicker. Chris Christie, and even President Obama was asked this question by a Fox News reporter. What about the election, upcoming the elections? Do you think this would change anything? Chris Christie said, I don't give a damn about the elections right now. We are in a state of emergency. There
right.
are people hurting,
right.
so forth and so on. And then
that was, you know, on Fox and Friends.
He shot off to a Fox News reporter, and even President Obama said that that's not the time for that kind of question. But in addition, another Fox reporter, or maybe the same reporter, had asked, you know, about Mitt Romney, and Chris Christie gave in my view, gave signals that he didn't want to talk about Mitt Romney. He didn't want to hear about the man's name. I guess it's like, you know, is Chris Christie now having a last-minute change of endorsement? Or if he actually said he would endorse Mitt Romney then, but given the change of circumstances and developments, will he go to the voting booth and vote for Barack Obama?
Look, Chris Christie is a loyal Republican. I don't really care who he endorses. This guy's running for president in 2016. He cannot endorse the Democrat and think he's going to win a Republican nomination. I do think, if you want to look at it cynically, that if Barack Obama wins re-election, then Chris Christie can run in 2016 and has a decent shot. If Mitt Romney wins election, then Romney would run for re-election in 2016. And then in 2020, his vice president, Paul Ryan, would run for election. And that might completely destroy Chris Christie's chances. So if you want to be cynical about it, you could say that that's something that he's doing. But look, the issue to me is not who endorses whom. The issue to me is the actual facts on the ground. And so let me go back, if I could, Michael, to my original question to you, which is, people in the Bronx, people in Manhattan, I assume you know people throughout New York City, not just in the Bronx, people in Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island. How are ordinary people who weathered this storm, how do they feel about government aid, whether it be from Barack Obama or Mayor Bloomberg or anyone else, FEMA? Give me an idea for the feel on the street in New York City, because here in D.C., we just weren't hit that hard, so I can't really gauge that. Tell me how it feels up there.
Well, as I was pointing out earlier, that people were very happy that President Obama was reaching out and checking up on everybody and saying to the governors that if you need any further assistance, get in touch with me right away. He will make way for all the assistance to get down to the people in need. Now, there are some people here in New York City that are kind of upset, but they're mainly upset at pretty much Mayor Bloomberg and some in the media as well, because Bloomberg has been reporting that about 80 to 90% of people have recovered power. He expects everything to go back to normal tomorrow. He's reopening the New York City public schools. But then you have some people in Coney Island and even the Rockaways that are saying, wait a minute, we haven't gotten power back. Their power source, I think, is LIPA.
Yeah. Well, obviously, those are the areas that are hardest hit. I mean, Coney Island, the Rockaways, that's areas that's right on the front line
right.
where the storm was. You would expect that they would be the last to get power back.
But they're saying that, you know, LIPA is taking their sweet time. And one woman has said that how the hell is it that the mayor's going to say that schools are reopening tomorrow when the public schools in their area are still without power? They don't have anything to work with. And she sarcastically said, well, maybe I should have my kids go over to Mayor Bloomberg's neighborhood school and let them see what how much everything's back to normal. It's like the mayor's so much out of touch. And I wouldn't be surprised, given that there is now a FEMA contact number, telephone number.
Oh, there is. Good.
Yeah. The people will call them up and then report to
FEMA
and the president of the kind of neglect that's going on. You know, the president did say, any problems, give him a call.
You know, that's good. I'm glad they have that. It's one of the nice things just to have FEMA on the ball. Let's never forget what happened just I guess it's 6 years ago now, Hurricane Katrina, where FEMA was not on the ball, where the head of FEMA, Michael Brown, not only had no experience in federal emergency management, but as an Arabian horse trader, that was his profession. But he was actually eating a very fancy dinner as the levees burst in New Orleans and told everyone he was not to be disturbed. That's who George Bush put in place. And again, it's not just that this is something new. Not only did Barack Obama completely reinvigorate FEMA and put in a guy who actually was a Republican but knew federal emergency management because Obama put in the best qualified person for the job, but Bill Clinton also did a tremendous job with FEMA. People forget Hurricane Andrew back in the 1990s. FEMA did a terrific job because James Lee Witt was there, and he had some 30 years. It's interesting. Democrats tend to put in government people who know what they're doing, people who are involved in federal emergency management or emergency management at the state level. They tend to get the jobs. Republicans, because they disagree with government, because they think government can't succeed, tend to view government as a patronage system where they can help their friends and the people who give a lot of money to their campaigns. And that's why they don't put in seasoned people involved in emergency management. Instead, they put in, well, people like Michael Brown. And we should never forget
Absolutely.
George Bush saying, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie.
I'm so glad that you raised that comparison, because a lot of people were saying that if Romney was in office, you probably would not have gotten the response that you have, especially since he's on record saying he wants to dismantle and dispose of FEMA. Don't people remember that FEMA is also the agency that dispatches the National Guard to disaster areas? So how in the hell can you think of even disposing of FEMA? It shows that Romney doesn't have a clue of what he's talking about or what he wants to do, and wants to have less government, which to me it sounds like he wants less accountability and more cronyism. And, you know, the thing also is that this probably is also, and some people say that Hurricane Sandy may have been a wake-up call and a deciding factor and a wake-up call to the undecided voters as to who is really caring for the people of this country, namely President Barack Obama, and who really is not, namely Mitt Romney. And especially after the stunt that he pulled in Ohio, that should even be more of an icing to the cake as to which way to really go on Election Day and which way to take this nation.
Well, thank you for your call, Michael. I appreciate
you
calling in. I always appreciate when you call in. Folks, if you want to join this discussion, it's 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. I want to talk a little bit before we go about William Craig Fugit. W. Craig Fugit is the current administrator administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He's the head of FEMA. You probably haven't heard a lot about him because, unlike Mike Brown, he hasn't been so much getting out in front of the cameras as actually working on emergency management. Who is Craig Fugit? He was appointed in 2009 by Obama to head FEMA. What was his job before then? He was the division of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. He was the director of the Florida one. He was appointed by Governor Jeb Bush and later reappointed by Governor Charlie Crist. So he was appointed by two Republicans. And he was in the state in Florida, which most needs emergency management because Florida gets hit by more hurricanes than any other state. He was a volunteer firefighter, an emergency paramedic. He was a lieutenant with the Alachua County Fire Rescue. And in fact, he was emergency manager for Alachua County for more than 10 years. And then, of course, he worked for Florida for 15 years, and then he became the head of FEMA. Here's the point. He was appointed by Republicans. I don't care. He's good at his job. By all accounts, this is a man dedicated to helping people escape disasters. And he's been doing it his entire life. And Barack Obama found the best guy for the job. Not a political appointee. Not even a Democrat. By all accounts, Fugit didn't give a penny to Obama's campaign. Instead, Obama believed that government should be about competence, not about political patronage. And that's why, despite the worst storm to hit New York City in probably a century, I don't know, certainly in my lifetime, maybe going back a century, I've never heard of a stronger storm to hit New York City. So few people died. They're already getting back up. A few places are still out of power. They're clearing the subways. Things are on the ball. Because sometimes government does a good job. And the only way government does a good job is by having the right people in place. It doesn't happen automatically. If you don't believe that, look at Hurricane Katrina and George Bush. It doesn't happen automatically. It's important to have the right people in the job. And, well, Barack Obama does. 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.npca.org.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers. Led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call. 1-888-ecowines.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code FowlerShow for your extra special discount.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without Big Brothers Big Sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping Big Brothers Big Sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at BigBrothersBigSisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Meredith Ritchie. Fox figures have recently suggested that President Obama is anti-Catholic or anti-religion following the administration's decision that requires church-affiliated organizations to provide health insurance plans that cover contraceptives for women.
Well, this is part of the whole allegation of the war against religion, the war against the Catholic Church.
And in an election year, a lot of Catholic voters are going to say, why is the federal government doing this to us?
Sure.
Why is President Obama picking on us right. in this way?
And to the point about the Obama administration, they have been cutting services to the Catholic Church and been beating up on Catholics for a long time.
According to a 2009 poll conducted for Catholics for Choice, 63% of American Catholics said that health insurance policies, whether they are private or government, should cover contraception, such as birth control pills. For this story and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
We Act Radio is a very proud partner of the Start at Westminster, a harm reduction, prevention, and awareness initiative sponsored by the Westminster Presbyterian Church right here in D.C. START stands for Syringe, Treatment, Advocacy, Resources, Training. These are the core elements of the harm reduction philosophy at START. The goal of this program is to reduce transmissions of HIV, hepatitis, and other blood-borne infectious diseases by empowering those at risk of infection with the tools, resources, and referrals they need to take charge of their health. Over the past year, the START at Westminster tested over 1,600 people, and they're averaging about 150 tests each month. And of course, with the proper funding, that number could go even higher. For more information on this terrific program, go to www.startatwestminster.org or visit the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street Southwest, right here in Washington, D.C.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Inside Scoop, this is Mark Levine. By the way, those are news tunes you're going to hear for quite some time to come on the Inside Scoop. That's Javier Suarez, and I am able to use his music, and I love his music, so it's really, really great. We're going to be using him for all my intros and outros for some time to come. This is Mark Levine. This is the Inside Scoop. It is just 2 days before the election, and it's important to give out the facts. It's important to remind people why you should vote and frankly, why you should vote for President Obama, why you should vote for the Democrats in Congress. It's not just a question of political ads and spin and who's up and who's down, but the facts matter. The issues matter. And we're going through those. And then later up, coming up at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, for those of you listening in other time zones, just subtract the appropriate hours, we're going to have Jim Graves on the air. Now, Jim Graves is running for Congress. He's running against Michelle Bachmann. And we think he's got a decent shot of winning that race, of actually knocking out Michelle Bachmann. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from him. That's coming up in just about a little over a half hour. Even though she's outspending him 12-1, it looks like he might win the race. Wow. All right, we'll get to him at the top of the hour. First of all, I believe Michael from the Bronx is still on the line and still had a few more words he wanted to add. Michael, you're always welcome on the show. What did you want to add?
I'm sorry about that, Mark.
That's okay. What's up?
Yeah. I did forget one important factor that was going on here in New York City.
Yeah.
And even in New Jersey, and that is the long lines for gas. Now, in New Jersey, they have implemented, and I think some outer sections of New York City, in like Westchester County, followed the same initiative of the odd-even rationale.
Right.
Now, let me explain what that is. You have to look at your license plate. If your license plate, and you go by the last digit, if it's an even number, then you can get online for gas on even number days, which means today's date is the 4th.
The 4th.
Which is an even number.
Right.
If your license plate ends in an even number, which is 0,
right.
2, 4, 6, and 8,
right.
Then you can be online for gas. If your license plate ends with 1, 3, 5, 7, or 9. Those are odd numbers. You have to wait till tomorrow, the 5th, or any other odd number date
right.
to go get gas
okay.
until further notice. In addition, and this is an important lesson for everyone, as soon as the storm passed and I saw it was safe enough to get on outside, you know, no more high winds and et cetera, I did run some errands, picked up some incidentals, but at the same time, I went searching at gas stations to see which ones have power and if there was any lines. There were no lines, and the gas station I went to certainly had gas, and their power was up. That was the time that I filled up my tank. I jumped ahead in anticipating that there was going to be chaos in the next 24 to 48 hours on with people trying to get online for gas.
Okay.
And the problems that they're facing is either the station has power but ran out of gas and had to wait for the next shipment, or the station was still without power but got gas in the pumps but don't have any electricity okay. or generators to pump
Fair
out
enough.
The gas.
I need to stop you right there because I want to move on and talk about sort of the main issues of the election, and that may be a little too detailed for my D.C. listeners. But thank you for calling in, Michael, and sharing that with me. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks again. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 202-889-97, 202-889-9797. By the way, the video is up now. If you want to see me, hello. I am on my website, marklevinetalk.com. You can listen and watch the show on Ustream. You got to sit through 30 seconds of a commercial, but once you've done that, you can see me pretty loud and hear me pretty loud and clear. So if you're sitting at home at your computer and want to watch me and not just listen to me, you're welcome to do that. I do want to go back to what I was saying in the first hour, because it's important to recognize not just what Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress did, not just Obamacare and Dodd-Frank at fixing the auto industry's problems and doing a fiscal stimulus and doing a monetary stimulus. It's not just that. But it's comparing it with what the Republicans tried to do. Any economist will tell you that you need certainty for businesses to invest, that one of the main reasons businesses are sitting on more dough, more cash, more unused profits just sitting around in bank accounts, even though they're earning very little interest, and not reinvesting in the American economy. It's not because, oh, no, multimillionaires aren't making enough money. That's not the reason. They're still making hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not really worried
about the top 0.1%. No, the reason is uncertainty. And Republicans have done really well in creating that uncertainty. One of the nice things about Obamacare, by the way, is by giving the certainty that every American will be covered, that you will not have to worry about health insurance because it's either covered by your employer or by Medicare or by Medicaid, or by giving subsidies to all of us so that we don't have to pay more than 7-8% of our income total in health care, no matter what age we are. And most of those kick in all across the country by 2014, which is just a couple years away. By giving that certainty, businesses can invest. They know they're not going to go bankrupt because one of their employers comes down with some horrible disease. So compare the certainty that Barack Obama has put in the workforce, has put in the economics of our nation, whether it's by Dodd-Frank, giving a certainty that businesses won't just fail and collapse due to financial disasters, Obamacare protecting businesses from health emergencies, just like FEMA protecting us from hurricanes. Look, hurricanes happen, cancer happens, and people make bad bets. That's a certainty. But protecting the rest of us from other people's gambling habits or from acts of God, right, from whether it be cancer or hurricanes, that's something the government can do, and under Barack Obama has done pretty well. Compare the Democrats trying to give certainty to the marketplace with the Republicans trying to give uncertainty to the marketplace. Ever since Barack Obama became president, he has said, I want a tax cut for the middle class. And ever since he's become president, the Republicans have argued that it is wrong to allow the middle class people to pay less in taxes unless multimillionaires also get hundreds of thousands of dollars, get much greater tax cuts than the middle class gets. And they have said to the middle class, we're holding you hostage. Yeah, we know the economy would be better if middle class people have more money in their pockets because they can go on and they can spend and help the economy grow. But unless you give multimillionaires all this money that they don't need and they don't want, and proof that they don't want it, by the way, is that the majority of millionaires, even the majority of millionaires, believe that they should pay more in taxes, which is amazing. So I'm not saying millionaires are bad. Most of them are patriotic enough to recognize they need to pay more in taxes. They have the lowest tax burden they've had since the 1920s. But because the Republicans have insisted in increasing the deficit, have insisted on giving massive amounts of money to rich people who don't want the money, don't need the money, and it won't help the economy, and have said that without that, we're not going to let the economy grow, our economy's been uncertain. Just like when the Republicans insisted that the country go bankrupt. Just like Mitt Romney wanted the auto industry to go bankrupt. Well, you may remember the Republicans, the debt limit crisis. Remember that manufactured crisis? America has more than enough money to pay its debts. But Republicans insisted for the first time in American history that America not pay its debts. Now, during the Revolutionary War, the Continental Congress was able to pay back every penny of Revolutionary War debt. That wasn't easy. The Civil War, the greatest disaster in American history, right? More Americans died in the Civil War than every single war America's ever had put together. And yet the Union managed to pay back every penny. I actually have a paper quarter, a paper 25-cent bill that was printed in 1863 because the Union couldn't afford the silver that used to go in quarters. But they made good on those greenbacks. They paid back every penny. In the worst times of the Great Depression, the United States paid its debt back. So despite the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Great Depression, World War II, you name any crisis in American history, we've paid our debts. And then for the first time in American history, the Republicans said, you know what? Let's make Barack Obama fail. Let's make America fail. Let's not pay our debts for the first time ever. Let's destroy the nation's perfect credit rating. The one that lets all countries, frankly, invest in us and borrow with us and put their money in American banks because they don't trust their own nation's economies. This, which increases our economic growth probably 1% a year, this basic, wonderful gift the whole world gives us because they trust us. Let's destroy all that good faith. Why? Because if we destroy all that good faith, we can destroy the nation's economy and the world economy just enough to make sure Barack Obama is not reelected president. Wow. It's almost like, hey, let's push the economic nuclear war button and blow up the whole planet just if we can keep Obama from being elected. Well, it almost worked, right? We did lose our credit rating for the first time ever. Went from AAA to AA to the second best rating. And the people who reduced our rating, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, said they're doing so only because the Republicans are threatening to default on the national debt. And in order to get out from under that default, the Republicans forced Barack Obama to agree on what's called the fiscal cliff. Come January, no matter who is elected president, unless Congress does something to stop it, we are going to cut spending dramatically, both in the military and in entitlements, and we're going to raise taxes dramatically. And that will definitely harm the nation's economy. Barack Obama had to agree to that because otherwise the Republicans were threatening to throw the world into a massive depression, worse, far worse than 1929, far, far worse, because the United States, even in 1929, didn't default on its debt. Heck, Speaker Boehner knew it was ridiculous, but his Tea Party Republicans control him and thereby control the Republican Party and thereby control the House of Representatives, which is another reason why if you just vote for a Democrat in the House of Representatives, you prevent them from having this power to destroy the nation's economy. See, the Republicans have no power to do anything good. They do have power to push the nuclear red button, the economic nuclear red button, to destroy the nation's economy by saying we shouldn't pay back our debts. And they threatened to push it. And they took the president and America hostage. And if you want to know why the market slumped, if you want to know why we had trouble in the summer of 2011, if you want to know why our economy did not was growing jobs gangbusters and then went down, it's because of that uncertainty created by the Republicans, who insisted on taking something that worked perfectly fine, America paying its debts back, and saying, let's just not pay our debts back to the rest of the world. Let's destroy the nation and the world's economy. I don't think enough people understand what happened then. Frankly, I'm not so sure Barack Obama made as clear as he should have exactly what the Republicans were trying to do. But don't worry. If Mitt Romney becomes president of the United States, I guarantee you, it'll come back. Because Republicans, well, it may even come back under Obama. The Republicans in Congress are determined to harm the nation's economy if it means helping them get elected. So show them something. Tell them you don't want them playing games with the nation's economy. Tell them you think that America should repay its debts, that we should get issues of taxes and spending under control, but we should never risk the nuclear war, the nuclear disaster of economic depression by suddenly going from the most trusted nation on earth to the least trusted nation on earth. How do you do that? Vote for a Democrat in Congress. Give President Obama the help he needs. It's not just voting for him 2 days from now, but voting for a Democratic Congress as well. Had we had that certainty, I'm quite confident the economy would be much stronger today. So help out not just the president. How about your country? 888-488-MARK. Oh, excuse me, the toll-free doesn't work. Call locally, 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. This is Mark Levine, the Inside Scoop. This is WEACT Radio, 1480 AM. You can look at me live. You can watch me online at marklevinetalk.com. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Take Action News with David Schuster, Saturdays from 12 to 3 on We Act Radio, 1480 AM, and weactradio.com.
Well, for me, it's always been, you know, you report the facts. You report like hell, let the chips fall where they may. And the truth, ultimately, The truth ultimately is what's going to sort of help our society and help all of us. I don't think progressives want a thumb on the scale on the facts. They just want the facts out there. You let the facts out and progressives will tell you, you know, we're going to win 70% of the time. You may quibble with the percentages or whatnot, but I think that's just sort of what progressives are looking for. And I think that's where this all sort of meshes with my interest as a journalist. And my interest as a journalist is report the facts. Here's what's going on. Here's what the facts say. Here's what history says. Here are the lessons we know we have learned. And let people draw their own conclusions. And I think what's so unfortunate right now in the world of broadcast media is I do think that a lot of conservative radio, certainly conservative television, they're not interested in facts. And that's ultimately where I think conservative media is going to have its downfalls, that Americans are hungry. They're just hungry for basic information, hungry for basic facts. You report like hell, you let the chips fall where they may. I think it's natural for all of us who care, who are passionate about politics, who feel like we have a sense about the difference between right and wrong. I think it's okay to let that be part of your coverage. It's important for all of us as broadcasters and journalists. In this day and age, we have to be authentic. You can't be the person who's up in the ivory tower that comes down and tells people, now you must eat your peas. No, it's all about, we all have personalities, and I think it's being aware sometimes of our own bias, but also being open to the idea that sometimes we're wrong, but we have a dialogue, and we have a passionate dialogue, and we care about this country, we care about this community, and I think that sort of passion is what carries us through.
Hear more from David Schuster, Saturdays from 12 to 3 on Take Action News, on We Act Radio, 1480 AM, and weactradio.com.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers. Led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call. 1-888-ecowines.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code FowlerShow for your extra special discount.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.npca.org.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Danny Herrera. There's no doubt that Fox News probably has a good number of female viewers, which raises the question, why do they keep letting their hosts make misogynistic comments on the air? Listen to Fox & Friends Sunday co-host Dave Briggs complain about a recent article on Super Bowl preparations.
The Super Bowl, says this article, is a no-shushing event. No shh, shh. Again, I have to take issue with this.
You're
because,
a big shusher.
Look, I'm not there for the commercials like my friend here. I'm there for the game and the commentary. I don't want you yapping. If you want to yap out in the commercials, go watch it on the other TV with the ladies
wow,
in the kitchen.
So you need quiet in the room.
Indeed, Fox and Friends has a long history of sexism, which also permeates throughout Fox News and mirrors a culture at parent company News Corp that has led to numerous sexual harassment and discrimination lawsuits. For this story and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
You're listening to WPWC, We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Wow. 2 days before Election Day. You know, if you're a political junkie like I am, this is your Super Bowl, your Olympics, your World Series, your Final Four. It's all wrapped up in one. One exciting day. I'm doing something, by the way, that I virtually never do. I'm coming outside my house on election night. Now, my practice is, and it's been, well, it's been like this since I was 10 years old. I stay at home, I take out my map of the states, and I start coloring them red and blue. And I still have my maps from past times, including my map of 2000, where I colored Florida in blue, and I refused to turn it red because I knew that Gore had won Florida. And so my official map of the 2000 race shows the winner of the election, of course, Al Gore. didn't, I guess, work out that way. Even though he won the election, he didn't win the presidency. But that's the exception. Otherwise, I usually get it right. And I usually, like I say, stay at home, change all the channels, watch all the polls, color in the races. Well, you're going to be able to see me doing what I do in a public setting. Because this Tuesday, Election Day, the day after tomorrow at 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., I'm going to be at the Hamilton Hotel, restaurant. It's a new restaurant, really cool restaurant, 614th Street Northwest. They do a lot of live music. It's a really, really nice restaurant. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be packed. And we'd love to see you there. 614th Street Northwest. From 7 to 11 p.m., We Act Radio is going to be broadcasting the entire election night live. And you're going to see me doing what I do on election night in all my neurosis. Cheering when Ohio goes for Obama. Jeering when North Carolina goes for Mitt Romney. Although I expect those two things to happen. And working really hard in my home state to make sure that Virginia goes for Obama as well. So come on down. If you're not able to make it in person, you can watch me online. Pete Callahan, who is our wonderful engineer who works very, very hard here, is going to be running the cameras and showing the event. And by the way, it's not just for Democrats. I will be up there with the executive director of the Americans for a New Majority, a conservative think tank, a guy by the name of Matt Robbins. He's a nice guy. He couldn't be more wrong about things. He's a strong, staunch conservative. I'll be cheering for Barack Obama. He'll be cheering against Barack Obama, even though I don't think he really likes Mitt Romney that much. But he hates Obama in a good Republican fashion. And one of us will be smiling and one of us will be crying. And you won't want to miss that. So you can watch video of that. Also in the room are going to be about 350 high school students from all across the United States, juniors and seniors from virtually every state in the United States, from red states and blue states, from faraway states and close by states, along with their teachers as part of the Close Up Foundation. They're going to be there cheering or jeering and participating in the program. It's going to be raucous. In fact, the Raucous Caucus, my WPFW show, 89.3 FM, which broadcasts every Tuesday from 7 to 8. We're going to be broadcasting there on 89.3 FM in the first hour, and we're going to be doing We Act Radio, 1480 AM, all 4 hours. Again, you can watch it on the web, on my website at marklevinetalk.com. While you're watching election coverage, I would not be so presumptuous to think you'd only be watching me, though if you just want to watch me, you're going to get all the news. But in addition to turning on your CNN and your MSNBC, you got to have your computer on. Leave the link to me open. I guarantee you it will be an exciting night. Do not miss Election Night this Tuesday, 7 to 11 p.m. The nice thing about it, of course, is you can tune in at any time. Watch from 8 to 8:15. Whenever you want to watch, check in with me. Please do. It's going to be an exciting evening, and you're welcome to come in person. There probably will be standing room only. It's going to be that crowded. I expect more than 400 people to be in this room. It's a very, very nice restaurant, by the way. Come on down and say hello. At the Hamilton Restaurant in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House. I'm hoping to hear cheers from the White House the moment Ohio comes in, the moment Virginia comes in. When Barack Obama wins those states, we're going to be so close to the White House that I'm really hoping to hear the whole White House go up in cheers 2 blocks away at the Hamilton. Please, please don't miss that. All right. We've talked a lot about policy, about the economy, about the party of yes versus the party of no, about how and why Democrats want the economy to improve, and about how and why Republicans want the economy to fail.
I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that they want the economy to fail because they're anti-American. They want the economy to fail because when the economy succeeds, it makes the people in power look good, and they don't want Obama to look good. And they're willing to sacrifice the American people to help their party. Now, not all Republicans want that, just their leadership, just the people in charge, people like Mitch McConnell, who very clearly said his first goal, above jobs, above the economy, above everything else, his first goal was to make sure that President Obama would not be reelected in November. Or people like Rush Limbaugh, who said that his goal was for Barack Obama to fail. So we've talked about that. And we'll get back at the end of the hour to voter suppression tactics and the way the Republicans are trying to cheat to win. Those are very important because you have to avoid those pitfalls and make sure that you get your right to vote. We're going to talk about that in the last part of the third hour, about 2:30. Coming up at 2 o'clock is Jim Graves. Now, that's exciting. You remember Michelle Bachmann, wide-eyed, crazy Michelle Bachmann, who ran for president, who was actually ahead of Mitt Romney at one point in the polls. She was leading the Republican nomination for one point. Well, now she may even lose her seat because she's fighting hard. She's spending 12-1 against Democrat Jim Graves running in Minnesota. We're going to have, it's amazing he's coming here just 2 days before Election Day, but we're going to have Jim Graves come right here and share with us what's going on the ground in Minnesota. It's exciting because it reminds us that it's not just the presidency that matters, but the Congress matters as well. So now let's go to the states. I promised you predictions. Here are my predictions. Let me get out my wonderful map. The Washington Post has done a service of actually printing out the map for me. I'm going to have to copy it and make it blank because, you know, I'm not going to necessarily trust their predictions. But let's just go coast to coast, and I will tell you every state and how it's going to go. On the West Coast, well, let's start with Alaska and Hawaii. Alaska will go for Romney. Hawaii will go to Barack Obama. That's probably the easiest prediction anyone could make. I also predict the entire West Coast will go for Barack Obama. California, Oregon, and Washington will go for Obama. And yes, I am calling Nevada, the swing state of Nevada, for Barack Obama. I think the Latino vote there will overwhelm the Mormon vote. And I think that Nevada is changing. Nevada has gone from a solidly red state to a solid blue state. Pretty much everyone in Nevada lives in Las Vegas. That's more than 2/3 of the state's population. And that city is a Democratic city. I predict Nevada will vote for Barack Obama. In the West, the only other states in the Mountain Time Zone that will vote for Barack Obama are New Mexico, solid Latino state, and yes, Colorado. I am calling Colorado for Barack Obama. Now, I realize that's a risk. Some polls show Romney ahead in Colorado. Colorado is basically tied. Colorado was the race that I predicted would be the race that determined the 2008 election. It was right on the cusp. And yes, it could go either way. I predict, though, that Barack Obama will win the state of Colorado. I'm starting from the West. Of course, the states will be called first in the East. But let's continue from West to East. Let's now go to Central Time Zone. All the other states in the Mountain Time Zone, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, all of them, they're going to go for Mitt Romney. As well, much of the South. Obviously, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, all these states, southern states, are going to go for Mitt Romney. And sad to say, so will Indiana, even though Barack Obama won it last time, and West Virginia. That used to be a solid blue state. Interesting. West Virginia is a fascinating state because this was a state that voted for Dukakis. Tells you how Democratic the state was until very recently. But it's turned into a solid red state. You can argue whether it's racism or coal. I don't have time to make those arguments now. But West Virginia will almost certainly vote for Mitt Romney. And so will Missouri. That used to be a swing state. It'd be great if Barack Obama were to win Missouri. But I do not think that he'll win Missouri. And I also think Mitt Romney will win North Carolina. Although it's a state that Obama could pull out. If you find out early on that Obama won North Carolina, begin your celebrations already. Because the election's over. If Obama wins North Carolina, the election is over. In the Midwest, I predict, of course, Barack Obama will win his home state of Illinois. He'll also win Michigan. Let Detroit go bankrupt was not the smartest thing for Obama to say, for Romney to say to Michigan voters, even though his father was governor of Michigan, even though he grew up in Michigan. Can you blame a state for not liking Mitt Romney when he wants them to go bankrupt? Minnesota, The Republicans made a play for it. They will not succeed. The Democrats will win Minnesota. But I also predict that Barack Obama will win Wisconsin and Iowa and, yes, Ohio. The granddaddy, the most important swing state of them all. Obama's going to win all three of them. He's going to win Paul Ryan's home state of Wisconsin, Iowa, and Ohio. In the East, well, pretty much all of New England is solidly Obama. Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, and New Jersey, despite the fact they've undergone that hurricane, I think will come through for Obama. Though, let's face it, it's going to be hard for a lot of them to vote. Some of those voting places may be out of power. New Yorkers and New Jersey, I know life's difficult for you right now, but you're going to have to take that special effort and make sure that you go to the polling place on Tuesday, because we wouldn't want the hurricane to be the reason why Obama lost the election. And yes, of course, the District of Columbia, Maryland, Delaware, all solid blue, likely to vote. Vice President Biden's home state, going to vote for Obama. Pennsylvania, sorry, Mitt Romney, you're not going to get it. Obama's going to win Pennsylvania. And New Hampshire's going to be very, very close. The only state in the Northeast that's going to be close. But I do predict that Barack Obama will win New Hampshire. That leaves two states left, Virginia and Florida. I predict that Virginia and Florida will be the two closest states of the night. Maybe Colorado will join them, the three closest states of the night. I predict that Obama will win Colorado and Virginia. And sadly, I think he'll narrowly lose in Florida. But I don't think Florida's out of range, folks. I do think it's possible to win in Florida. I really do. If he wins all those states, that's 332 electoral votes. If he does not win Florida, it's 303 electoral votes. That's more than enough to make him the next president of the United States. So let's look at it from east to west. Let's look at it as returns come in. The first returns we're going to hear from that are going to matter on the East Coast, what are they? Well, they are New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. As I said, if Obama wins North Carolina, the election's over. I don't predict that's going to happen. If he wins Florida, the election's over. See, basically, Obama's got 243 or so in the bag. 243 electoral votes for sure. I'm throwing in Nevada in there. I think he's got 243. That's without Wisconsin, without Ohio, without Iowa, without Virginia, without Colorado, without New Hampshire. He's got 243. If he wins Florida, boom, that's 29 electoral votes. The election is over. Congratulations, Barack Obama. All he has to do is win Florida. He's reelected president of the United States. And he doesn't need Virginia. He doesn't need Ohio. He doesn't need Colorado. He doesn't need Wisconsin, Iowa, or New Hampshire. If he wins Florida, the election's over. But as I said, I predict that Romney will narrowly take the state of Florida. So what does he need? Well, we can do it on the East Coast. We can do it without Florida. Simply by winning two East Coast states, New Hampshire, which I think Obama's going to win, and my home state of Virginia. If we can win Virginia, we needn't worry about Ohio. We'll have to take Wisconsin, but I think we're going to take Wisconsin. Virginia, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, that's enough. That's all the votes we need. Bingo. That 27 electoral votes, that plus the 243 I said is guaranteed, that's 270. We don't need Ohio. We don't need Iowa. We don't need Colorado. New Hampshire, Virginia, Wisconsin. The election is over. Wow. So those of you who are listening to my voice who are voting in Virginia, you can make the difference. We're going to talk about some shenanigans that the Republicans are trying to pull in Ohio. So if we win Virginia, we are beyond the margin of cheating. Part of the problem with Al Gore in 2000, it's not that he didn't win the election. He did. But he didn't win beyond the margin of cheating. And in this case, we can do it with Virginia and New Hampshire and Wisconsin, go beyond the margin of cheating. Now, if he doesn't win Virginia, he's going to have to rely on Ohio. That's the state. That's the firewall. He may well lose Virginia. He's going to have to rely on Ohio. He's been in ahead of Ohio in every single race, but it's still too close. If he doesn't win Ohio or Virginia or Florida, Barack Obama can eke it out with a win in Wisconsin, which I think he's going to win, New Hampshire and Iowa, which I think he's going to win, and Colorado as well. But I wouldn't want to rely on that. Basically, Obama needs either Florida or Virginia or Ohio or Colorado. One of those four states should give it to him, assuming he does win Wisconsin, New Hampshire, and Iowa. And he doesn't have to win all of those if he wins either Virginia or Florida. I hope you followed along. I'll be going through this in detail on election night, 48 hours from now, 53 hours from now, 7 p.m. on election night. Tune in, and you're going to hear the predictions as they come in, or come join us at the Hamilton restaurant two blocks from the White House in Washington, D.C. Coming up right after the break is Jim Graves running for Congress against Michelle Bachmann. Outspent 12-1, but he's ahead in the polls. Could he take down the woman who at one point was ahead of all others in the Republican nomination to the presidency? Coming back, we'll have Jim Graves on the line. And your calls at 202-889-9797. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Coming up right now is a very special guest, arguably a lion killer or perhaps a lioness killer, someone who is poised, I hope, I pray, to take down a woman who at one point was the leading edge of the Republican nomination for presidency. She was leading in the polls. Of course, I'm talking about Michelle Bachmann. Well, she's having a tough race in Congress right now, and Jim Graves, it looks like you are perhaps about to take her down. Welcome very much. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, great being with you, and we're real excited. We think our odds are pretty good. If we get out to vote, we're going to get this thing done. Bill Clinton's coming in tonight to do an event with us in St. Cloud, right in the heart of the district. If we get the vote out, we're going to get this thing across the finish line and finally make this country a little more civil, a little more sane, and get the queen of the Tea Party the heck out of Congress.
Now, how the heck are you doing this? I understand she's outspending you 12-1. Is that right?
Yeah, she has now set the high water mark for the most expensive congressional race in the history of America, and it's all been on false negative advertising. I mean, I was on a talk show this morning in a debate.
Yeah.
And there were five different ads for her. You know, when you're on these debates, you're sitting next to her, you're talking,
right.
And then they show you the monitor when you do the break.
Right.
You know, so every ad, and they're not one single truth to any of them, but she wants to buy this election. She's doing no earned media because she doesn't want to talk to real people like you, Mark.
Right.
She just wants to do it through the paid media. And I've been telling everybody this is a problem in America. I mean, the currency of influence is campaign dollars, and they're trying to buy this country off is what they're trying to do.
Well, Jim, explain to me, because, of course, we're right here in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people don't know the details of your district. Tell me, because Michelle Bachmann's been there for, what, 10 years? She's been there a long time, right?
Well, she's actually been in a U.S. Congress now 6 years.
This will
be her fourth
term.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's still quite a long time. How is it that your district is able to compete against a woman who, let's face it, is not just a Republican, but a far right-wing extremist Tea Party person? How is it that a district that would vote for her would consider voting for a reasonable Democrat like yourself?
Well, what we're trying to do, Mark, is get out the truth. She's been in Congress for 6 years. She's accomplished nothing. She's divisive, antagonistic. She's part of the reason why Congress is totally hated by almost everybody in America.
It's true.
Except for 7%. I mean, she epitomizes everything that's wrong. So what we've been trying to do is say, hey, look, you know, this gridlock isn't working. Throwing mud, false accusations, trying to spread fear. This isn't what this country is all about. And whether you're Republican or Democrat or an independent-minded person, do you really want to take this country off the cliff? Do you really want to wreck this great experiment that we've got going? And that's what she's willing to do. I mean, there's no question. She believes in a theocracy, not a democracy. She believes that the government's our enemy. She believes that that we've got to get rid of the government. We've got to be armed and dangerous to take down the government. I mean, she says this in the press. I mean, so it's tough. Now, there's always those people, Mark, that just have their head in the sand. I mean, anybody that votes for her is a testimony why we have to improve our educational system.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim. You'd have to be. Yeah, but there are those people, unfortunately. You go out there and people believe her, you know, I don't want to say it on the air, but you know what BS
right.
means. They
right.
believe it, you know, it's crazy. But we're thinking we're getting through. We definitely feel good about it. Our poll says we're ahead by about 4 percentage points with those people that know who I am. And, you know, that's up at around 70%.
Is that why she's agreeing to debates? Because she's behind? Is that why she's finally agreeing to see you in debates?
Yeah, we kind of shamed her into it. We said, look, you can run, but you can't hide. You know, is this what we're all about? It's just a paid media kind of thing. She is just, I mean, I can't even tell you. My family gets pretty upset. I said, hey, look at the source. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
You know, being called names by somebody that is, you know, a first stature doesn't make any difference. But we're going to win this thing. We're in the most conservative district in the state.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
Even conservatives aren't idiots. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I don't understand. So Minnesota is famous. First of all, the Midwest in general is famous for having the nicest people in the United States. And Minnesota may be the nicest state of a nice bunch. It seems like people from Minnesota are very polite, very nice. Michelle Bachmann is not nice. She's not polite. She doesn't believe in working across the aisle to try to make things happen for this country. All she does is attack, attack, attack. Is her tone hurting her in this race?
Well, you know, it's funny. You get her outside the district, and she's on the tour with, Herman Cain or whatever.
Right.
Let's get rid of the IRS or whatever she does. You know, all these crazy, stupid-ass things. Okay,
right.
Excuse me. Oh, stupid things. Okay.
That word you're allowed to say on radio, but go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so here's the deal. You get her in the district, and I was on a debate this morning with her. You know, she's got her hair just perfect. She smiles all the time, and then she just spills off BS. I mean, like she says, the Obamacare is going to cost $1.7 trillion. You know, so then the moderator says, well, can you substantiate that? It's going to cost that much, just believe me.
Just believe me.
And then when I say something, that I say, hey, you know, effectively, Michelle Bachmann wants to terminate Social Security and Medicare,
right.
We know it.
Right.
She says, that's a lie, Graves, that's a lie. You know, I mean, she's just, you know, she's a different person in the district, and she smiles. She's very good with shaking hands, very good with photo
right.
ops. She's a consummate, lousy example of what a politician is. I mean, she really epitomizes everything I think is wrong with this country, and especially politics. But she's good at it. I mean, I'll give her credit. She's good at it.
I'll tell you this, Jim. If people can simply see what she said, the best way, it seems to me, to fight Michelle Bachmann is with Michelle Bachmann. She has said some really wacko things over the past, like you say, like ending Social Security. That's a pretty wacko idea. Or ending the IRS. So we're going to have no taxes now? Huh? I mean, really crazy ideas. Far to the right, even of an extremist Republican Party. I assume in order to get the message out about how extreme she's being, particularly when she's outspending you 12 to 1, that you could use a little help, maybe from our listeners.
JimGraves.com. Go on board at JimGraves.com. If you can give us a buck, give us $5, whatever you can give us would really help. At these last days or so, we'd love to carpet bomb the airways with the truth. We'd like the people know what's going on. And, I mean, I still believe in decency. I still believe in honesty. I still believe that we can win this thing definitely by doing it the right way. And by the way, our good friend Barney Frank came out.
Yeah.
Did a nice
fundraiser
for me. It was great. He's done good work over the years. We're going to miss him. I was going to serve in Congress with him, but we'll just have to be friends because he's going to retire now. So,
yes,
but,
he is. He's my ex-boss. I used to work for Barney Frank. So
then you know Barney. Great
I do.
Guy.
So in only 2 days, can people, if they gave money today during the show, could that still help your campaign with only 2 days to go?
Yeah, definitely. Seriously, because we can buy. We've got canned ads ready to go. We call. We have a, what they call a buyer, a commission buyer, and he or she can put them on right now, and we can go right with it. And that's what we got to do. We've got to really carpet bomb this thing the last 24 hours. On Monday, we've got to hit it real hard tomorrow. And if we do that, everybody that hears a message, Mark, seriously, I mean, 90% of the people hear our message. They come our way. They say, hey, you know, I voted for her before, but I can't vote for her now that I know that you're a reasonable guy. And Ms. Abedin comments really kind of carried the day.
Tell me about that.
Well, when she came out after Ms. Abedin, and you saw, you know, you see a John McCain and a John Boehner and a Lindsey Graham come on and say, hey, there's just foolish. No credibility to that. Well, that really, I think, turned a lot of people's heads and minds.
Wait, help us out. Jim, I don't think everyone knows what Ms. Abedin said. Tell me who she is
said. Oh, I'm sorry. She came out and said that Ms. Abedin, who works for the Secretary of State in the State Department, was infiltrating our federal government with Muslim Brotherhood Sharia law.
Right. Just to be clear, Michelle Bachmann was accusing the wife of a Democratic U.S. congressman, Anthony Weiner, accusing his wife, who worked for Hillary Clinton for years and years, worked at our State Department, of being some kind of closet terrorist, right? I mean, isn't that...
Exactly. It's strange, isn't it? Here you have a congressman. She has been a public servant. She's been working in the State Department
for decades.
For years.
Yeah.
She's well-liked. She's a really good person. And Michelle Bachmann had no problem just trashing that person's personhood and just, you know, totally... just totally outrageous things that she said, and Bachmann is okay. It's just political trash. Here we go. You know, we don't care. We'll just completely destroy somebody's personhood because I want to get reelected. And there's no truth to it. And she's like Teflon. When you bring it up, she says, "I stand by my comments. We have problems here. Look at Benghazi." She tried to. She had
look
to
at
add
Benghazi as if this patriotic American woman who's been serving Hillary Clinton, who's the wife of a congressman, as if she had anything to do with the horrific terrorist attack that killed four American heroes in Benghazi. I mean, that's really low. That's
hey,
like
let me go one step further.
Yeah,
this
go ahead.
She has a whole ad out that I was responsible for it because I criticized her comments about degrading comments about Ms. Abedin. So I was responsible for Benghazi. She had an ad out that I
Whoa.
Was responsible for it.
And that's they, and crazy
they said,
talk.
Who's outrageous now? Jim Graves did that Benghazi attack. I mean, you know, it's just...
No one can believe that. No one in Minnesota, people are too nice. No one can believe that you had any role in that horrific terrorist attack just because Michelle Bachmann, like a crazy person, says so, right? I mean...
Well, I hope so, Mark. We'll find out on Tuesday. But I'll tell you, if we get a little bit of help, we get this message across... Really, everybody that knows our message, we were 52-46.
You're ahead.
Four undecided or three undecided. So,
you're ahead. You're over 50%.
But people that know us, we're definitely over 50%.
But people who know you, but not everybody knows you. Well, let me just give a very clear endorsement and shout out to my audience. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice, I know you've given to all kinds of campaigns. It's vital that you go and give a few bucks, whatever you can give, to JimGraves.com. Let me tell you why. Number one, first of all, we need as many reasonable people in the House as possible. One of the reasons why we're in this mess is because of things that the House of Representatives, controlled by Tea Party advocates like Michelle Bachmann, forced the Republicans to force America to go off this fiscal cliff. I'd love to have a Democratic House, at least have more reasonable people there. And Michelle Bachmann is a symbol. Michelle Bachmann is a symbol of all the rabid excesses of the Tea Party, all the racism and extreme nature. Listen, not all Tea Party is extreme, but she is. She always has been. How dare she accuse patriotic Americans of being connected with terrorism just because she wants to win elections? This woman is off the rails. Jim Graves is going to bring back a senior Minnesota. Folks, if you can help out his campaign, if you can give a few bucks, please do so. And let's all cheer when Jim Graves takes that seat back on Election Day. Thank you so much, Jim.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much. You guys have a great one, and let's have a wonderful Tuesday, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming here on The Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Bye now.
Okay, so that's Jim Graves. As I said, he's running for Congress in Minnesota. He's looking to take down a giant killer, looking to take down Michelle Bachmann. It's not easy to do, as he points out. It's the most conservative district in Minnesota. You'd think it would be. It has to be a conservative district to elect a woman as extreme, a person as extreme as Michelle Bachmann. But he's got a shot, and I really appreciate him taking the time. As he says, he faces the public in a way that she does not. She relies on paid media. because she wants to buy the election. And that's largely what the Republicans have been doing this election season, buying the election. Think how this country would change if Barack Obama were not reelected. You already have a United States Supreme Court saying that it's fair for people to spend as much money as possible on this election. And the only thing in the way of moneyed interests taking over everything, they already have a lot of power in America, but taking over everything is Barack Obama. It's the Democratic Party. If Mitt Romney, who is of that class, and I don't just mean he's rich. They're reasonable rich people. Warren Buffett is a reasonable rich person. Bill Gates is a relatively reasonable rich person. But Mitt Romney has built his entire career off of killing American jobs, off of shipping American jobs to China and India. If you read his article, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, which I highly encourage you to read, it's an op-ed, it's a short read, it's 5 minutes reading. Read the original, the New York Times op-ed he wrote on November 18th, 2008. You can put the time in Google. You will see that his big problem with the American auto industry is that he said they treated workers too well. He said American workers are making too much money. They have too much health care. They have too much pensions, too much money in their pensions. And if you believe that the American middle class is doing too well and we need to harm them in order to help millionaires and billionaires make more, then you need to go vote for Mitt Romney. Because that's what he believes. And that's what he said when he wasn't running for president. And that's what he says in secret rooms when he decries 47% of Americans at fundraisers that cost $50,000 a plate to get in. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have $50,000 to throw away on dinner. If I had $50,000 just free to spend, I'd maybe get a new car or two. Not some chicken and listening to Mitt Romney. But if you've got millions and millions and millions, $50,000, that's nothing. It's pocket change. In front of those people, he says half of Americans are moochers. This is a politician of the rich, by the rich, and for the rich. And what he said in his article, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, is American workers are paid too much. They have too easy access to health care. They have too easy a retirement. We need to make life tougher for the middle class. We need to fire American workers. We need to cut their benefits. We need to cut the benefits of teachers and firefighters, as he said in Wisconsin when he supported firing all those teachers, when he supported ending collective bargaining, ending the right of teachers, firefighters, police officers to even negotiate for a better position. This is the politician that is out to destroy the American middle class, no matter what he said just last week when he saw, oop, that doesn't look good in poll test numbers. I'm going to lie and say something else. Vote for Obama and vote for the Democrats, not because they're perfect, but because compared to a party designed to destroy the American middle class, it's our only hope. 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Does your child have difficulty controlling their anger or a history of academic failure in school? Options Public Charter School offers a therapeutic learning environment with small classroom sizes and on-site counseling services to help students succeed. Options PCS is now enrolling grades 5 through 11 for the upcoming school year. For more information, call Options PCS today at 202-547-1028. Options Public Charter School, exceptional education for exceptional students.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company.
Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers, led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call, 1-888-ecowines.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code, FowlerShow, for your extra special discount.
I'm Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico. Last year, my state became the 12th state to allow medical use of marijuana by patients who are seriously ill. Some people were surprised that a Republican governor supports medical marijuana, but I'm hardly alone. Groups like the American College of Physicians, American Nurses Association, and American Public Health Association have all acknowledged the medical value of marijuana. New research about medical marijuana is coming out almost every day, showing remarkable potential in all sorts of serious conditions, including cancer, AIDS, and chronic pain. But some in government still want to put politics and ideology ahead of public health. To learn more about medical marijuana and what you can do to help, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thanks.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Inside Scoop, this is Mark Levine. Only got about a half hour left. There's still time for you to call in at 202-889-9797. If you are listening on WEACT Radio and you want to see me and you're home now and you're getting out of your car and you want to follow the show, listen to the last half hour where we're going to talk about voter suppression, it's easy to do. Just pick up your computer, go to marklevinetalk.com, marklevinetalk.com. You can not only listen to the live audio stream, which may be easier, for example, if you're on the road or something and just want to listen by your phone or your. But you can watch me right here. Here I am on video. I got to be careful because I'm being watched right now. You can come join me, watch me, and, of course, you can dial in at 202-889-9797. So, half hour to go. First, I want to issue one more invitation to come join us on election night. If you live in the Washington, D.C. area, it's very easy to get to the Hamilton. It's two blocks from the White House, 614th Street Northwest. From 7 to 11, it's going to be standing room only. It's going to be that crowded. But we'd love to have you come down and join me for election night. I'll have a conservative by my side. One of us will be cheering. One of us will be crying. I will expect to be cheering while he's crying. But you'll be able to see us as the states are called, along with kids from all across the country. It's going to be an exciting evening. If you do miss it, or you want to just watch us while you're watching the coverage, do me a favor. Just go to marklevinetalk.com Tuesday night, and you will see the live video stream of the entire event. And don't miss that. That's election night. You can be watching TV, have CNN and MSNBC on. At the same time, you can go and leave my stream on and listen to as I give you analysis of exactly where the election is headed, so you'll know step by step what's happening, who's winning, and why, if Florida's called for Obama, I begin my celebrations early. So don't miss that. But it's not just that, by the way. I am on a lot. Monday morning, tomorrow morning, if you get up on your way to work, check me out at 7 a.m. in the morning. As you're getting dressed, I'll be on the full hour from 7 to 8 a.m. on Current TV. I'll be on the Bill Press Show giving my analysis. Please don't miss that. You can even call in the Bill Press Show and let them know you're a Mark Levine fan and you're enjoying the show. I would appreciate that. That will also be on TV, on Current TV, on the Bill Press Show, and on my website at marklevinetalk.com. Monday night,
is more Inside Scoop TV show. This is the official TV show. We're going to talk about specific voter shenanigans going on in Virginia and across the nation. That's 7 p.m. on Monday. So 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. tomorrow, talking about the election. Then is election day. During the day, I'm going to be out working all day. I'm going to be a precinct captain. I hope you will do the same. Do not forget to vote. Do not forget to vote. Don't watch me. Go vote. That's more important. If you have to stand in line for 10 hours, go vote. If you can vote early, do it. That'd be great. If you can't, please do not get out of line. Virginia is likely to be the most important state. I know everyone tells you it's Ohio, but in Ohio, as we're about to get into, there's a bunch of shenanigans going on. In fact, the Republicans have gone to court to defend the right of polling officials to throw away ballots by legal registered voters. And they've lost some, but they've won some too. They just won a case. It just came down Wednesday that says that if you vote in the wrong place in Ohio, they can throw away your ballot. And I want you to think about this. If you vote in the wrong place in Ohio, okay, then obviously you shouldn't be able to vote for a city that you don't live in, okay, or a city council district that you don't live in. But if you're a voter in Ohio, you should be able to vote for the president of the United States. You should be able to vote for the Senate candidate for Sherrod Brown in Ohio. Of course you should. Why not? Heck, if you live in the same congressional district, you should be able to vote for your member of Congress. Why are we making it so hard for people to vote? Well, the Republicans said, nope, if you go to the wrong place, ha, you lose your right to vote entirely, even though you're an Ohio registered voter voting in Ohio. That makes no sense. But it's part of the shenanigans the Republicans are pulling off. We have to win this election beyond the margin of cheating. Al Gore won the 2000 election, but he didn't win beyond the margin of cheating. And they've been focusing on Ohio. They've been doing all kinds of shenanigans in Ohio. We do not want, on election day, Ohio to determine the race, and then come the battle of the lawyers, comes Florida 2000 all over again, and constant fighting, and using the election machinery, which is controlled by Republicans in Ohio, to cheat and steal this election. There is one clear way to avoid the Ohio swamp that would occur if the election in Ohio is close enough for the Republicans to try to steal it. You want to know the way out? You listening up? If you live in Virginia, there's a way out. I myself am a proud Virginia voter. If we win Virginia, we don't friggin' need Ohio. Doesn't matter what happens to Ohio. In fact, the Republicans won't play the games that they'll play in Ohio. If we win Virginia, they'll just let Obama win Ohio. They won't need to play games. All you need is Virginia. Assuming we win Wisconsin, I think we are going to win Wisconsin. And assuming we win Nevada, I assume we're going to win Nevada. All we are is 17 electoral votes away. Ohio does it, that's for sure. But also Virginia and one other state. New Hampshire, I think, is very likely to go for Obama. Virginia and New Hampshire, if they call those states on the East Coast, let the celebrations begin. Because Wisconsin, Nevada come through and Barack Obama's won the election. We don't even need Ohio. If we don't win New Hampshire, Virginia can do it along with Iowa. Virginia can do it with Colorado. Virginia and just one other state, and we have won the election. So, your vote, Virginians, matters. It matters a lot. After Ohio, Virginia is the second most important state in the nation. How do you feel? There's 50 states in the United States, and you're in the second most important state in the nation. All you got to do is vote, Virginians. And frankly, Tim Kaine could use your help as well, particularly running against a guy like George Allen, who I have absolutely no respect for. I mean, the man, how many people with a clear racist past are even running for the Senate? But let's focus on Virginia. Let's focus on Barack Obama. This broadcast goes out, 1480 AM goes out to a large section of Northern Virginia. We need your help. Do not even consider not voting. By law, your employer is required to let you vote. If your employer says, no, I'm sorry, I need you that day, so say, sir, according to the law, you're required to let me vote. And if your employer says no, you turn them in.
You can call any kinds of voter protection websites. Our Vote, I know it's one, 1-800-O-U-R-V-O-T-E. Your employer has to respect your right to vote. It's 866, excuse me, 866 Our Vote. 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E. If you're going to be late to work, you have a right to be late to work. When else do you have an absolute excuse to be late to work? I can't think of another example. You call your boss, you say there's a long line to vote. I'm sorry, I'll be in later. You have a right to vote. You can leave early from work because you have a right to vote. They cannot keep you from voting. Now, when you get to the polls, make sure you're in the right precinct. You know, if you had your voter ID card, that'll do it. If you're not sure, call the Virginia State Board of Elections. On their website, they tell you where you can vote. You can call the Democratic Party. They'll tell you where to vote. The Alexandria Democratic Party, you can call 866-OUR-VOTE. Make sure you know where you're voting. And if you go there, do not let them not let you vote. That's a double negative. Do not let them not let you vote. You don't have to have a picture ID in Virginia to vote. All you need is a utility bill. Simply shows your name and your address, and you're okay. If you have any issues, there should be lawyers for the Democratic Party, for Barack Obama, both inside and outside the precinct. In fact, there's a lawsuit right now in Fairfax County, the largest county in Virginia, the one, by the way, that houses our transmitter in Dumfries, Virginia, because Republicans are trying to argue that people like me that go into the polls, that if we see a problem, we're not allowed to talk to the voter and inform them of their rights. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Hopefully we're going to win that battle tomorrow. We'll find out. I'm reported on my show at 7 p.m. Monday night. But do not let them not let you vote. And if they won't let you cast a regular ballot, and they insist you cast a provisional ballot, at least talk to a Democratic Party official first. Make sure they're right about that. Provisional votes are sometimes not counted. In fact, they're usually not counted. Regular votes are always counted. Now, it's better to vote provisional than not to vote at all. But if you can get a regular ballot, that's the right way. A picture ID is not required. Lots of Virginians don't have a picture ID. You don't have to own a driver's license to vote in Virginia. A utility bill will do it. A bank bill will do it. Your voter ID card will do it. Don't let anyone tell you you can't vote. If they tell you you're in the wrong precinct, there are people who will give you a ride to the correct precinct. Do not give up on voting. There are people, I guarantee you, I know I work with them. If you need to pick up your kids at school and you're in line voting, right? They will save your place in line while you go pick up your kids and you can come back and they'll be right up there in the front of the line waiting for you. Or they'll go pick up your kids. Whatever. There are Democrats ready to help in any way, shape, or form. There's no excuse for not voting. If you are a registered voter in the state of Virginia, your vote is likely to make the difference. I've looked at the polls. I've seen polls showing Barack Obama 0.3%, not 3%, 0.3% ahead. I've seen polls showing him 0.3% behind. Virginia is likely to be the closest state in the United States. And how would you feel if Virginia loses by 20, 30 votes and you know that you and your friends could have made the difference? And now we have a Romney presidency. And President Romney, the first thing he does is raises taxes on the middle class, promotes rich men's rules, gives us a massive deficit, just as he's giving rich people more rights to take jobs outside the country, to not only to outsource American jobs, but to reward companies that take away American jobs. The election is the day after tomorrow. Whatever you believe, do not forget to get out and vote. I'm going to take one last break, but before I do, reminders. I'm on Monday, 7 a.m. on Current, Monday, 7 p.m. on the Inside Scoop TV show. That's Channel 10 in Northern Virginia, or you can find it on my website at marklivingtalk.com. Then election night, Tuesday, 7 to 11 p.m. We've got a full election extravaganza at the Hamilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. You can also find that on the website at marklivingtalk.com. Wednesday morning, I'm going to be on Fox News talking about the election, hopefully with big smiles on my face because I won't have slept the night before. I'll be tired and happy, I hope, if you come through and vote for the Democrats. And then Wednesday night, I'm going to do the Leslie Marshall Show. It's all on my website, marklivingtalk.com. Your best election coverage is right here
on We Act Radio. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.npca.org.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard. Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection. Red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers. Led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call. 1-888-ECOWINES.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code FowlerShow for your extra special discount.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child, and that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. I've got 15 more minutes with you. And then the next time I talk with you, at least from We Act Radio Studios right here in Washington, D.C., the election will be over. And either President Obama will be reelected or we will be, we'll be facing President Romney, Vice President Paul Ryan, as they determine not if, but how to end Social Security, to end Medicare. As Romney prepares justices like Scalia to control a woman's body for the next 25 years. As they make sure that money will forever control American elections. that gay people will be denied equal rights, that African Americans will be denied a chance to vote at the polls, undoing the Civil Rights Acts of 1960s that so changed our nation for the better. As he works to ship as much money as possible from the middle class to the rich, as he works to outsource as many American jobs as possible to China, India, Mexico, and all other places where they can mistreat workers far worse than they can Americans. As he tries to destroy American unions, end collective bargaining, fire teachers, police officers, firefighters, make sure that Wall Street can continue to get bailouts from the government, but doesn't have to worry about regulations that keep it from gambling with American taxpayer dollars. It's a scary thought. Now, if you don't believe Romney is capable of it, just look at what he's done in the past. Look at the way personally he has done his best to avoid American taxes, even by using the Mormon Church as a charitable remainder unitrust. Sounds awfully complex, but basically what it is, it's a way for him to avoid paying taxes for 15 years. There's an article in the Business Insider. You go to businessinsider.com, search for Romney Tax Shelter, and read about how Romney has used his massive wealth to avoid paying taxes. This is a man who firmly believes in rich man's rules. He doesn't believe that hedge fund managers should pay even half the rate that a janitor pays. Remember, he only paid 10% of his taxes. That's all he was required to pay under current law, and he wants to pay less than 10%, while people struggling with two and three jobs have to pay, just in payroll taxes alone, more than that. But don't just look at him personally. Look at what he's done as governor. Look at what he did as governor of Massachusetts when a Framingham company was making drugs, specifically the steroid that's used to protect people from back pain, neck pain. Frankly, it's one that I've taken for my own neck pain. And now 25 people are dead and 29 people are dead. The numbers have gone up. 29 people are dead and 400 are infected. All because a Framingham company in Framingham, Massachusetts, neglected to sterilize its equipment. What does this have to do with Mitt Romney? It's really quite simple. The company had a record of non-sterilizing its equipment, a record of dirty drugs being made, and people being infected with funguses and bacteria. There were six separate infections when Mitt Romney was governor, brought to the attention of the Massachusetts Board of Regulation of Pharmacy, the state agency that is, the Massachusetts Board of Registration in Pharmacy. This is a state agency that is its job is to make sure that companies like the New England Compounding Center, this corporation making these dirty drugs, practice best practices, like making sure their drugs are clean. Well, there were so many accounts, verified accounts of this company making cheap, dirty drugs and not even sterilizing its equipment. Two came from the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration. Four other ones, including one that affected this very drug, the same steroid that later would cause meningitis and kill 29 innocent Americans, 300 plus, almost 400 now infected. So what did the Massachusetts Board of Registration and Pharmacy do? They did the right thing initially. They said, company, we're going to publicly discipline you. We're going to let the entire world know that your drugs are tainted, and we're going to keep you from doing this business for 3 years. Actually, when you think about it, that was fairly reasonable. One could have argued they should have just shut the place down. Instead, they're shutting it down for 3 years with public discipline. That was before the company director wrote a letter to this board, every member of which was appointed by Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. He argued that if you tell the world that we regularly ship out tainted drugs, people aren't going to want to do business with us. This is going to kill our business, he pleaded. So this board all 11 members appointed by Mitt Romney changed its mind. Instead of a public reprimand, they did a private one. I'm not sure what purpose a private reprimand serves. They suspended the company for 1 year. And the company, I love this part, said, hey, Massachusetts, we'll save you the expense of regulating us. We'll regulate ourselves. We'll regulate ourselves. We'll check to see whether we're sending out tainted drugs, and we'll certify to you that we're not. And Mitt Romney said, that's fine. We trust you. We trust you. And the company certified, we are not issuing tainted drugs. At the same time, they were shipping out more than 70,000 vials of poison, 400 of which we know so far have been injected into innocent Americans. 29 are dead. And almost 400 are risking dying from a very common back relief pain. I've had this shot. That's how scary it is. I've had it. Many of you maybe have had too. I had a problem with my neck, and they give you a shot with this drug, and you feel better. It stops the swelling. It's a very good drug when it's not infected or tainted. If Mitt Romney had not been governor of Massachusetts, would 29 Americans be alive today? Would 400 not be infected? I think it's reasonable to say yes. After all, the company started to come down really harshly. The Massachusetts regulators started to come down really harshly on this company, and only, well, Mitt Romney's board decided to change its mind. Remember, this is a man who doesn't believe in regulation. Doesn't believe we should stop coal companies from blowing up mountains, spewing arsenic and cadmium and other dangerous metals into the headwaters of West Virginia, waters that flow into the Potomac and come right down in this Washington, D.C. region. They also flow into the Mississippi River. Heck, I would say two-thirds of the American population probably lives in or near rivers that come from the Appalachian Mountains. And yet, Romney is fine with arsenic in our water, cadmium in our water. He's fine with tainted drugs. He's fine with pollutants in the air. The Arctic ice circle is melting. Look at Arctic ice. It has never been lower since it's ever been measured. The massive hurricanes, Katrina and Sandy, coming once in a century. Hurricanes are coming every 2 years now because of climate change, something that Mitt Romney says, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. When you go to vote, the day after tomorrow, if you're voting early, keep these things in mind. Don't let them not let you vote. Fight hard for your right to vote. They're already stopping early voting. You remember in Ohio, they argued, no, we can't let people vote the Sunday before Election Day because that's when African Americans vote. And in Ohio, blacks are 26 more times likely to vote early than whites. I guess they feel they can't leave their jobs on Tuesday as much as whites, or maybe, let's face it, socioeconomically, people in higher paying jobs feel more free to leave for a day's work than people in lower paying jobs. But for whatever reason, Ohio officials tried to stop the election, tried to stop early voting because they knew that blacks often vote on the Sunday before Election Day. It was a massive court battle. We won it. The district court, the appellate court, and even the Supreme Court level. And Ohio, which used to have voting every weekend before Election Day for 7 or 8 weeks, now only has it this Sunday. What a shame it would be if people didn't take that opportunity to go and vote. There's all kinds of ways to cheat in our voting system. It's a shame. Heck, the only reason that Wisconsin, the Supreme Court race, happened the way it did was they suddenly discovered 7,500 votes they hadn't found before. There have been elections in Florida where whole counties had votes of more than 100% or suddenly had sudden drops in voting because of electric voting machinery. I've worked hard to argue that everyone should vote on a voter-verified paper ballot, and we largely have that in Virginia now. The point is, the Republican Party is fielding an army of people doing their best to keep Americans from voting. What they're doing reminds me of Jim Crow laws in the 1960s, when they would require people to read the Constitution and describe what a bill of attainder is, or to count how many jelly beans were in a jar. Unless you were white, then you had a grandfather clause. That's where the word comes from, by the way. If your grandfather voted, you could vote. Well, True the Vote is doing things a little more subtly this year. One of the things they're doing is they're actually going to court in Ohio, where they're trying to take black voters one by one and deny their right to vote. There's a fascinating New Yorker article which describes what they tried to do, where they have a 53-year-old African-American voter who had lived in the same house for 30 years. And they tried to keep her from voting, Teresa Sharp. Read the New Yorker article. It's called The Voter Fraud Myth. And read how the Republicans made her go to court to defend her right to vote, even though she's been voting for 30 years in the same location. And the guy behind it, Hans von Spakovsky, a Republican lawyer who served Bush, is now bringing his tactics to Virginia. In Fairfax County, he's sitting on the board. I guarantee you he's going to do his best to keep blacks from voting in Virginia. The battle on Election Day should not be over whether American citizens who are registered to vote should or should not be allowed to vote. The answer is, of course, they should be allowed to vote. And anyone who tries to keep them from voting is unpatriotic, un-American, as far as I'm concerned, a criminal. If someone tries to keep you from voting and you're not sure, call the police. If you have to, call 911. Your right to vote is that important. But first, try 866-OUR-VOTE. Talk to Democratic Party lawyers. There are going to be some in the polls, outside the polls. The battle for Election Day, unfortunately, is not coming over the best policies of Obama and Romney, but whether or not Republicans can keep people from voting and whether Democrats can encourage people from voting. Be part of that battle. Even, I don't care, if you're voting for Mitt Romney, I support your right to vote. Every American has a right to vote. Do not let them take that vote away. Again, there's a lot coming up. I hope you will be able to watch me. I'll be on Current tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I'll be on Current TV. 7 p.m. tomorrow is the Inside Scoop TV show. You can watch on Channel 10 in Northern Virginia, or you can tune in at marklevinetalk.com. And then Tuesday night, election night, please join us for a We Act Radio Spectacular at the Hamilton Hotel, 614th Street Northwest. You can follow us online on We Act Radio, 1480 AM, or also on my website, marklevinetalk.com. We're live streaming the entire event as the election returns come in. All the information will be on my website at marklevinetalk.com. Please come join us, because 48 hours from now, the future of America will be determined. And I know you're going to want to be there. This is Mark Levine. In 1 week, next time I talk to you from these studios, I'm going to be very happy or very sad. Let's make me happy. Make you happy, too. 48 hours. This is Mark Levine, signing off.